Und wir sollen sagen Lechaim und wir sollen verbringen Geschmack Lechaim.
Lechaim, Lechaim le Brach, Lechaim le Brach, Lechaim le Brach, Lechaim le Brach. Alik Hashem Hashem Tevis. Beteich Shar, Bnei, Bnei Yisrael, Sheyichyu, Shlita. Lechaim le Brach, Lechaim le Brach, Lechaim le Brach. Yeah, not back up. He's waiting to embarrass me. He's just taking his time. Okay, basically, I got the vach, kaidum kol. Haintadach Yud Shvat. The Rebbe calls Yud Shvat Yom HaGadol VaKadosh. The great and the holy talk, the great and the holy day. Yom HaGadol VaKadosh. When the Rebbe calls Yud Shvat Yom HaGadol VaKadosh, he calls it this from the Rebbe's angle. Kvayachol, that it's a yardzeit, he says. Mafirik Rebbe is yardzeit. Yom HaGadol VaKadosh. So the Lomdim, the Bnei Torah, will probably have an explanation for what Gadol means and what Kadosh means. Sounds good to Zachen. Yeah, Yom HaKadosh is Yom Kippur. Yom HaGadol is a Mashiach cook. It's called Yom HaGadol. But for us, Yud Shvat is not the Estalkas of the Mafirik Rebbe. For us, Yud Shvat is the day of the Kabbalah of the Rebbe. Forgive me, I'll lay the mice. No, that's the truth. Yeah, it's Crown Heights. I can say it the way it is. Oh, some disguise from a sheikh, but they have a nirvan nigla, taken from a yad. But yet the ain't for nuns. So I want to mention to you that in the Sichas of Friedrichen Rebbe, he talks about the Baal Shem Tov and the day of Chayel. Chayel is the day of the Baal Shem Tov. It says in the Sichas, it's the Yemeledes of the Baal Shem Tov HaMeshulish. It's a triple birthday of the Baal Shem Tov. The expression that he uses, it's Begufei, Benafshei, Benishmasei. His body, his spirit, and his soul. I mean, those are arbitrary translations. Why? Because he was born Chayel Shnas Tof Nun Ches. His Rebbe, Achia Shiloni, met him the first time. Chayel Tof Pei Dalet, when he turned 26. And Chayel Tov Tzadik Dalet, the Baal Shem Tov turned 36 years old, and he was Nizgala. He became a Rebbe. So in the Sichas and Friedrich and Rebbe, he calls Chayel, and I remember seeing it, and then I went to look for it. You know, when you say something, and you say, "Where did you see it?" And I went to look for it. The Lashonis say, I think I saw them in one place, but I didn't find them in one place. Ich hab es gesehen, ergens. Yom HaGadol in Yiddish, the Groise Heilike Glickliche Tog. Groise is Gadol, Heilike is Kaddish, but he adds Glicklich. Right, the Rebbe calls Yud Shvat the Groise Heilike Tog. So we call Yud Shvat the Groise Heilike Glickliche Tog. The Yom HaGadol VaKaddish VaMeusher of Yud Shvat. The day that it was Makabel the Nesias. And when I was a child, we used to read the stories. And it's the same story, right? Everybody was happy that Baal Shem Tov was Nezgala, except for whom? The Baal Shem Tov. He was the only one of them thinking it was such a good idea. The Baal Shem Tov was Zeinish Gevolt. It's known, the Sipurim are all recorded, written down in letters and in Sichas, that the Baal Shem Tov tried everything in his power to get out of the Nezgalas. And they told him that this is it. The father's, that's how he was born. I think about Pasha Shmois. In Pasha Shmois, you have the Eibishter's patience. You want to see how patient the Eibishter is, learn Pasha Shmois. Moshe comes up with 101 reasons it should be somebody else. And he talks one day and he talks another day. The Moshe Rabbeinu Kvayachol strings the Eibishter, Atzmus of Hussein, Zav Baruch Hu, for a week, 7 days. Maybe send this one, maybe nisht, afshe nisht, maybe they don't deserve it. Excuses, stories, you have no idea. In the end of the story, it says, v'yichar af adeshem b'moshe. I'm sure there's a lot of true pshatim to these words, but one of the simple pshatim is that the Eibishter says to Moshe Rabbeinu, hey, Moshe Rabbeinu, I had a lot of patience with you. You're having a hard time appreciating the fact that you're a nasi b'Yisrael, but there's one thing you need to understand. That there is no second candidate. It's not like the negotiations is if it's going to be you or somebody else. It's only a negotiation if it's going to be today, if it's going to be tomorrow. Because this is it. There's only one Rebbe, one Nasi, one Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's his Inyan. So this is what happened to the Baal Shem Tov, and I don't know how to explain what happened to the Rebbe, but certainly, when the Rebbe became Rebbe, it wasn't fun. You know, I heard from people that when the Rebbe turned 50, a year later, Yud Aleph Nissan, Tovshin Yud Beis, the Rebbe turned 50. See, Satei Kapitel Nun Aleph, Psalm 51. So the Rebbe, he didn't want to make a Fabrengen. So he called Chassidim into his room for a Mayim Chassidus. So he called in the Eltere. I don't know how he did, but he pushed it. Knock of B'Shem. He invited people into his room. And he also invited the Eltere Bachrim. The Rebbe invited the Bachrim. So a few Bachrim were there. Al Vashom, David Raskin. So Yangayar, and Rabbi Yael, and others were invited, pushed into the Rebbe's Cheder. And the Rebbe said, a Mayim Hashem, so I say Tiftach. The Maimer is printed. It's not a particularly long Maimer. And this is all what I heard from people. The Rebbe was very emotional. When the Rebbe said the Maimer, he cried a lot. So when the Rebbe finished, Reb Shmuel was a big chassid. Reb Shmuel was an elder chassid. And Reb Shmuel by the Rebbe was chashuv. Reb Shmuel was by the Rebbe chashuv. So Reb Shmuel wanted to sort of console the Rebbe. He saw how painful this is for the Rebbe. So he said to the Rebbe, Tashmieni Sosim V'Simcha. In Kapitel Nanav, in Psalm 51, you have the words, Tashmieni Sosim V'Simcha. That means, give me to hear, that I should hear, Sosim V'Simcha. Sosim V'Simcha, gladness and joy, whatever these words mean. So without a hesitation, the Rebbe answers him, Togelna Tzomez Dikisa. Which means, it's the second half of the same Pasuk. Tashmieni Sosim V'Simcha means, allow me to hear gladness and joy. Togelna, bring gila. What's gila? Also gladness. There's no English words for these. Atzomais, the bones, the kisa that you're crushing. Meaning the Rebbe said to Reb Shmuel, thank you for the kind words, but where I'm sitting, it's not so geschmack, you understand? So the Rebbe became a Rebbe, and the Chassidim were in a state of the greatest amount of oisha you could imagine. And for the Rebbe, it wasn't so geschmack. But this is why the Eibishter created the Rebbe. The Eibishter put the Rebbe's neshama into this world. That it should be a Nasi B'Yisrael. It should be our Rebbe. Deir HaShvi. After all of the Yiddish Tzaddis. And you should prepare the world for this Galus of Melech HaMashiach. I heard from people who were at that Fabrengen. Wednesday night. Yud Shvat Tovshin Yud Aleph. With Wednesday night Pashas Pshalach. The Hasidim were really worried. They were very afraid that the Rebbe would not be makabel d'nesiyas. They really were afraid that the Rebbe would not be makabel d'nesiyas. I have a book from Rabbi Yael, Yishribine, where he describes, everybody knew that the Rebbe was a very, very serious man, a very serious man. And the Rebbe said no. He said no categorically, unequivocally, he said no. In the earlier periods, the Rebbe used to say, in the very beginning, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to run away from the York and you'll never find me. And people understood that the Rebbe wasn't making an idle threat. It was the process by which the Nesiyas of the Rebbe developed was very precarious. It had to be handled with a lot of seichel. And the Chassidim who were there then worked very, very, very hard to klayochel, in Das Tachtem, klayochel, to bring the Rebbe to this place where the idea was not so foreign to him. And then finally, after a year, after the Stalkas of the Fiyadike Rebbe, the Rebbe was makabel the Nesiyas. So there was a Fabrengen, as we all know, we heard the tape. So then what I heard is that when the Rebbe walked out of that Fabrengen, it was about 12:30 at night, they danced. They were alte Yidden, 60, 70, 80 years old, jumping up and down like school children. The simcha that he was by Chassidim, that the Rebbe was makabel the Nesiyas, was incredible. Incredible. Baruch Hashem hata Rebbe. You stop for a moment, you say, exactly what's a Rebbe? You know, some people are happy when they win a lottery, when their lives are materially enhanced in one way or another. Exactly what's a Rebbe? A Rebbe is Terev Avoida. A Rebbe is Yiddishkeit. The Rebbe is Terev Avoida. The whole Metzias of Rebbe. The Rebbe is not about heading. The Rebbe is about the Lakus, bringing a Lakus into this world. And Chassidim, including many American Chassidim, had a Chush. Had a gefil, I'm lafa my Rebbe. You can't have a life without a Rebbe. And the Eibishter was mezakeh them. The Eibishter gave them a Rebbe. The Eibishter gave us a Rebbe. This was an incredible, incredible simcha. And this is Yud Shvat. Every year Yud Shvat we get together. Or you make a fabrengen. Now the mechitzoinius of the fabrengen of Yitzvat is the menhogim, which have to do at Yortzeit. But the reality is, the fact is, I mean, who is sitting at this table now who remembers the Fidei Kerev? Who's sitting at this table now who is Bekal alive? There are a few people who are past 71, yeah? But the Ruba, we have no Shaychas of Fidei Kerev in this way. I'm not Chas V'Shalom trying to disparage. Yud Shvat for us is the Hizgal, the Nesias of the Rebbe. The Rebbe became a Rebbe Anossi. And again, ask people who remember. There's no way in their wildest dreams they could have understood and imagined what the Rebbe would do, what the Rebbe would give, and what the Rebbe would do. And this is our schus, this is our matana, our bracha, that we have a Rebbe. And that's why if I bring Yud Shvat. The problem is, the other side of the coin is, that when the Rebbe signed up, he also signed all of us up. You understand? We didn't just sign him up, he signed us up. I was sitting in a car, a little while after Gimel Tammuz, Tavshin and Hain, Mamish was within a year of Gimel Tammuz, and I was sitting with Alta Chassidim. I don't know how. I needed a ride back to Crown Heights, and I ended up sitting. A yid on my right was like 75. The yid on my left was like 80, and I was sitting in the middle. And there was, I needed a ride, so I ended up in a car with this very prominent yidin. I don't remember what the occasion was, but one of the yidin with me told me that when the Rebbe became Rebbe, he signed Aksavis Kashas, like everybody else. They signed. They wrote a note, and they pledged. They pledged loyalty to a Makabal Maris. And the Rebbe called me in. He told me, the Rebbe called me in and said, I want you to sign in front of me. The Rebbe asked him to sign a second time in front of him. In other words, Yud Shvat, on the one hand, is the day that the Eibishter gave us, the Rebbe. But on the other hand, Yud Shvat, there's a commitment from Chassidim. The Rebbe made the announcement in the first Fabrengen that everybody has to understand that this is not a one-way deal. Not only it's not Polish, it's not even the traditional Chabad, right? The Rebbe is signing on, and we're Kvayochel of Echmein. We have a work to do. And of course, the work that we do is the Keli for the Eskashrus, right? The work that we do, the Avoida that we do, in whatever field it is, whether it's in Chinuch or it's in Shlichis, or in any whatever work we're doing, because we're Lubavitcher Chassidim, that's the way we have this connection to the Rebbe. That's how we make a keli for the Simcha, the Rebbe Shaychas, to the Rebbe. And I think these 2 points are the Nekudah of Yud Shvat. The first Nekudah is Kvayochel. Vimazol Nedyebin Zafashtein, that the Rebbe agreed with Makabal the Nesiyas. And as pathetic as it may be, we signed on to be the Rebbe's Chassidim. So l'chaim v'lebroch, l'ibishn z'alm and helfen. It's Yud Shvat, that we should be connected to the Rebbe. We should feel that connection. That connection should give us joy. That connection should give us life and optimism. And we should be kalim for the connection because of the good that we do in this world to make a diddle izbarach p'tachteidim and to be zeichet in his gals of Malach HaMashiach. L'chaim.
I mean, here we have an empty chair and I think do we have more chairs in the back?
Which must have the bed in the yard. Kaski, do you mind putting this chair?
Yeah. For the Friedrich Rebbe. I la da ya 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 ya.
Yeah.
kibudav. Please. Come, sit down, chair. Please. Shaker. Shliach, Reb, Azun von Anat. Yeah? Oh, Atam. Bevakasha, please. The Roy Lomvatz, Atrich, the Tzibur, jetzt.
What are you going to do? Okay, I want to chaz a bissle bus legani. I'm not going to put you to sleep. I'll try not to.
Maybe.
Huh?
Maybe.
But I'll try. I want to chaz a bus on the kudu bus legani. It's your chvat. So first of all, shalom aleichem.
You stay.
How many years ago?
Yeah,
that's right.
So you started.
32 years. Did I ever?
Sure.
I so first of all, as you know, Basi Lagani has two parts. Basi Lagani is 20 parakim. Basi Lagani has two parts. The first part of Basi Lagani is the job, is the message, what has to be done. And the second part of Basi Lagani is the messenger, he who needs to do the job. The first part of Basi Lagani is, what's the mission? The mission is, V'asu l'miklash v'shachanti b'soichom, b'soichai le'ne'mad ala b'seichom, b'teich kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. That means that even though the Beis HaMikdash was built a long time ago, Beis HaMikdash is a tiny space, and the kavana is not that the world, the kedusha of the Eibishter in this world, should be limited to the Beis Hamikdash, but that everybody should be the Beis Hamikdash. Everybody should be a mishkan, a mikdash, lo yizbarich, not b'soychoy, but b'soychom. Or in other words, the Savak Kodesh Baruch Hu lo yizbarich dina b'tach toidim. The Eibishter has a desire to offer himself a home in the lowest world. That's what has to happen. How is it achieved? So the Rebbe says, "Aide eskafi v'ishabchem." The Dira B'tachtonim is achieved by taking on the world, by bending and transforming Klipa into Kedusha, we make a Dira L'Ezbar B'tachtonim. So the Rebbe, the Fiyadik Rebbe, gives three examples, Pashat Mishalim, three ways of explaining Eskafia V'Eshapcha. The first is Karbonis, that you take an animal, not just a physical animal, but Adam Kirakav Mikem, the animal which is the person, and you make it a carbon for the Eibishter. The second is shtus, right? The Rebbe says there's shtus de l'yom hazeh and there's shtus de kedusha. There is folly, there's stupidity, there's foolishness in klipa, which is less than reason. And then people get involved in shtus de l'yom hazeh, in folly, which is less than reason. The only way to correct it, the only way to compensate it, is shtus de kedusha. Foolishness, shtus, which is higher than reason. And that's the second example. And the third example, says the Maimir, is that you have to mehapach sheket the kedush. The world has a sheket, has a lie, has a sheket, and the sheket has to be transformed into a keshet, into a kedush, a building for the Beis HaMikdash. It's the first half of Basi Lagani, yeah, in 30 seconds or less, yeah? The avoid is eskafi v'ishapcha, and he brings the three mishalim of karbonis and shtus, and transforming sheket to kedush. That's first half of Basi Lagani. Then in Perek Yud, Perek Tes is an interesting Perek, where the mefarshim can be chaylik, where to put Perek Tes. A lot of people say Perek Tes is a Perek by itself, a sort of an entity unto itself. Perek Yud, he starts talking about who makes the Dira B'tachtonim. And that's the whole rest of the Hemshech. The Dira B'tachtonim is made through the Tzivis Hashem. The Tzivis Hashem. And the Rebbe points out more than once, if he ever points out, that in an army you have a king, in an army you have all kinds of officers, and then you have the foot soldier, then you have the, what do they call them? The infantry, the foot soldier. They gave out a sikha. Did you see they gave out a new sikha from Friedrich and Rebbe from Tafresh Peivov? A sikha, they just found the hanoch of a sikha of Friedrich and Rebbe. I have the sikha nish menzich. But the Rebbe says, gay mitten bix three times. Gay mitten bix, gay mitten bix, gay mitten bix. He's talking about a soldier. A soldier doesn't make any cheshbonis. Soldiers don't think anything through. You take your gun and you walk. A soldat. So the Rebbe says that even though there are so many people who are in position of prominence, the king and then the various officers, but it's about the soldier, it's about the chayil pashut, the simple soldier on the front, because he's the actual one who fights and wins the war. And that's the Tzivis Hashem. The Tzivis Hashem. And the Rebbe explains that that the reason you need to have the Sivas Hashem is because he says there's different kinds of milchama, different kinds of war. There's a milchama which is called Lishlel Shalol V'Lovos Baz, which means you're fighting a war because you have a calculated anticipation. You want to get a certain return. You're fighting a war because you want to get something back. And the Rebbe says this is called a war with a cheshbon. A war that's fought with a cheshbon is limited. It's limited how much you're going to expend and how much the return is going to be. And then the Rebbe says there's a mechama which is called mechamas nitzachin. Mechamas nitzachin. A war which is called nitzachin. I'm going to get back to this in a minute. But the Rebbe says when you fight a mechamas nitzachin, there's different rules. A mechamas nitzachin, first of all, the melech is machnes as atzmei betachsisei mechama. Kings usually delegate war to their subordinates, to their generals, to their military staff, to their department of war. But when there's a mechamas nitzachin, in the melech, the king doesn't trust anybody. He personally engages in tachsisei mechama. That's number one. Number two, he's mevazbeis kol ha'oitzrei she'otzar, he takes treasure, which he has collected and his ancestors have collected, and he dispenses of it in a way of bizbuz, in a way that's less than precise in the dispensation of this wealth. Farvas, because when you have to win a war, you pull out all the stops. And then the last thing it says in the Maimed is mashlechay of mineged. The king forfeits his life. The king forfeits his life for the victory of Melchames Nitzach. This is what says in our Pedik, in Pedik Yud Alf. Pedik Yud Yud Alf speak about Tzivas Hashem. But in Pedik Yud Alf, the Rebbe describes this idea that I just mentioned, that when you have a Melchames Nitzachin, so then you have the king himself engages and the king dispenses of his wealth in a way that would be considered reckless or not exactly responsible. And he even risks and gives away his life to win the war. Now next Pedik Yud Beis, next year's, he starts Ulahovin Inyan Ha'oitzer Lamaila. He starts explaining what is the meaning of treasure. And most of the rest of the Hemshech, from Pedik Yud Beis to probably Yutes, is explaining the meaning of the word treasure, Oitzer. So it turns out that this Pedik Yud Aleph is very directly connected to the Melchama, right? The Tzivas Hashem and the Melchama, more than any other Pedik. And the Maimed is this Pedik Yud Aleph. And in this Pedik, the Rebbe, the way the Rebbe explains, the Fidik Rebbe's Maimed, the Rebbe explains the following. He says there's something called the Mechamas Nitzachin. Mechamas Nitzachin, the Rebbe doesn't translate as a war of survival. That's not how the Rebbe translates it. Even though that's what you would think it means. The Rebbe does not translate Mechamas Nitzachin, a war that, that if you lose the war, you're going to be Chas V'Shalom finished. He translates Mechamas Nitzachin as Zayin Rotzen Dafsach Oisfirin. Mechamas Nitzachin means that the will of the king has to be carried out. Mechamas Nitzachin means a person has a Midas HaNetzach, and Midas HaNetzach means that what he wants has to happen. And the Rebbe says a very interesting word. The Friedrich Rebbe says it also. He says, Midas HaNetzach is only by G'doylim. Midas HaNetzach is on, most people do not have Midas HaNetzach. Kings, and particularly great kings, G'doylim, great people, have Midas HaNetzach. And he says, in effect, if you see by another person Midas HaNetzach, it's glat chutzpah, it's azus, it's nothing, it's a bluff. Only great people have Midas HaNetzach. What's attached to Midas HaNetzach? A human being who has a will, but he trusts his will so much that because this is his will, this is how it must be. It can't be any other way. For a human being to be so convinced that what he wants is correct, he has to be either mad, he has to be a Balgaiva like Napoleon, or he has to be a Rebbe. He has a godless, a greatness, a certitude, a zichekeit, a certainty about his approach. And a godl has midas ha-netzach. A midas ha-netzach means that what he understands, what he wills, has to happen. It has to be carried out. And the Rebbe explains further that if you're fighting a war, because you have a desire to win. So if you win half of what you expected, if you win two-thirds of what you expected, you're a winner. You want, you didn't win 100%, but you gained some of what you wanted, right? You made an investment, and the investment in war is even nefarious. And then there's a return. You conquered this piece of land, then you got this kind of negotiated peace with this neighbor, whatever the case is. But when you fight a war to win, there's a cheshbon. The cheshbon means calculation. There's a reasonable calculation. How much you can afford to, how much you're going to lose, versus how much you could possibly gain. It's called, it's a limited war. And the Rebbe says, in a limited war, it's okay not to get 100% of what you want, as long as you win something. So then there's Midas HaNetzach. Midas HaNetzach means that the war is about the king's will. It's not about winning. It's about the will of the king. And the Rebbe explains, when it comes to will, if a person gets 99% of what he wants, he has zero. The will of a person is only actualized if he gets exactly what he wants. And the Rebbe says, this is the type of Midas HaNetzach. The Melchama, there's a war, and there's a Godel, there's a Melech, who has Midas HaNetzach. And the godless is, the Rebbe doesn't explain in Vosba state the godless, what makes him a godless. He simply states, as a matter of fact, the godless. And the word is, this person knows this is Ratzon HaElyon. What he thinks is what the Eibishter thinks. That's called a godless. And because he knows that what he thinks is what the Eibishter thinks, his Ratzon is Payachal, the Ratzon of the Eibishter. So this Ratzon has to be carried out. And if it's not carried out 100%, then the Ratzon wasn't carried out. And this is what the Rebbe says, Nemaimi, an Arpeidik. And at the end of the Maimed, he explains, I'm skipping a lot of the details, I just want to make this Nakuda. He connects it to Kol HaYetzel Muhammad's Beis David, Get Kisa's Case of Lishte. And the implication is, Mashmoaz Dershim, this is not explicit, but it's quite implicit, that until Muhammad's Beis David, until the war for Mashiach, the Gedele Yisrael who fought Muhammad, it was always in a Madrega of Lishtel Shol of Lovaz Vaz. They always cut their losses. They calculated how much they're fighting for versus how much they could lose. Melchames Beis David, he calls it, all those other Melchames, he calls Iskafia, a war where you're settling for less than 100% is called Iskafia. The Melchames Beis David, he calls Ishapche. And he says, this is a Melchama that you have to win 100%. And this is what the Rebbe says in the Maimeh, this is Inyan of Melchames Beis David, that the Ratzon of the Eibishter, the Ratzon of the Rebbe has to be carried out 100%. This is the Teichen of the Maimeh. And obviously what the Rebbe is saying is that this is the union of the Rebbe. The union of the Rebbe is that there's a Muhammad, and the Muhammad is to make a dira le'ezbarach v'tachteinim, and the Ratzon of the Rebbe has to be carried out 100%, otherwise it's not at all what needs to be. But I want to say one thing about this. The Rebbe says in the Maimir, what does this mean in Avoido? What does it mean in Avoidus Hashem of Muhammad's Nitzachen? Where the Ratzon has to be carried out 100%. What does it mean personally? What does it mean the life of a person? A Mechames Nitzachim. So the Rebbe explains that in Avodas Hashem, this is the idea that in the life of a Yid, every single Avodah is Shavu. In other words, we have things that are Deiraisa, we have things that are Derabonon, we have things that are Menhagim. They're not equally significant in the scheme, and the framework of Torah. Some things are kvayachal ikir, some things are tofel. But when a yid serves the Eibish, the madrega of Ratzon, everything is shavu. It's exactly the same. And the Rebbe says, the avoida of Melchames Nitzachen is a yid who serves Hashem in the madrega, that whether it's a deraisa, or it's a derabonon, or it's a minig, if it's Yiddishkeit, it's absolute. It's absolute. The Ratzon for the Eibish and Daf Zecho Yisfir. And the Rebbe said 100 times, said 1,000 times, that when the Rebbe introduced... And this is not easy. This is not easy. It's not simple at all. But nevertheless, this is Divrei Harav. The Rebbe told Herbert Weiner many, many years ago. He asked the Rebbe, what's the secret of Lubavitcher's success? And the Rebbe said to him, no compromise. The Rebbe wanted to take Yidden, who were the farthest away from Yiddishkeit, and give them Yiddishkeit that was not at all watered down. Not at all watered down. The Rebbe used to say, you tell him, today you're doing only one mitzvah, but you should know the 613 of them. And you're going to start today with one, and tomorrow you're going to do two, and so on and so forth. But the attitude is that you bring Yiddishkeit to Yid, belieb shorem. This concept that you're not diluting Yiddishkeit, you're not diminishing it, you're giving them just the way the Eibishter gave it. This is the avoido of this Inyan of Melchames Nitzachim. And I've been thinking about it since, we're in Basi Lagani season, right? I do this for a living, honestly. I mean, the last few weeks, my whole head is preoccupied with Basi Lagani. And I got this guilt, this... I can't schlafen by night. Unfortunately, I schlafen ganz geschmack by night. But this idea that the Rebbe says in the Maimir, that, and the truth is, this is the definition of a chassid. The definition of a chassid is a person who lives his life in such a way where Kala and Chamura are not his Zohir, but Kala Kaba Chamura. Now he's particular about something small and something big. A Kala and Chamura Shove, the biggest thing and the smallest thing is equal in its importance, because his relationship with the Eibishter isn't measured in the Kala and the Chamura, his relationship with the Eibishter is measured in Rotz. I think about myself. I don't want to speak for anybody else. And it's not so gishmak. But this is the hirah. The practical lesson of the Basi Lagadi from this year is that the meaning of Balchames Nitzachon and Avoida is that our zehirus and Yiddishkeit is that the smallest thing is equal to the biggest thing, because we do everything because they have to get haste. So l'chaim, v'lebracha. I'm not. The Eibishter should give us the koiches and the humility and the ratzon that we should come a little bit closer to this inyan, that in our Yiddishkeit life we don't cut corners, we don't have cheshbonis about what's important and what's not important, what's ikir and what's tafel. Everything should be a nikir. It's not easy. It's not simple. But the Eibishter get koiches, the Rebbe get koiches. Someone does say it's from a pale mamish. L'chaim v'lebracha. L'chaim v'lebracha. L'chaim v'lebracha. Zog a nigit from Rebbe. Zog tzom alecha nafshi. Tzom alecha nafshi. L'chaim v'lebracha.
Tzom alecha besomim. Beretz siyo ve'oyeyu
Yeah.
For Yud Shvat is a void of a pile, right? Rabbi Herson does a piece on Jem. I saw it. Can you give me the mashke? You mind? He does a piece on Jem of describing the Fabrengen of Yud Shvat. They did it recently in the, you know, the 70. They made 70. Jem made 70 unique weeks of the video. They made Shinuyim in the way they present it. So Rabbi Herson describes the first Fabrengen. He was a boy about mitzvah age, I'm figuring, maybe even younger. 77 was packed. That's what he describes. It was very, very full. And remember, in those days, first of all, they opened up the windows between the first shul and the second shul, so people were behind it. Ever. Second of all, they opened the doors to the mosquitoes. If you can visualize the shul upstairs, on the left side, on the Eastern Parkway side, there's double doors that are always closed. Behind those double doors, there's bookcases with svarim. When they made big fabrengas in the early years, they would remove those bookcases, take out all those svarim, and open up those double doors. So the room was a little bit bigger. It went till the front windows, and it probably helped also with ventilation. They opened the windows, they were able to breathe. This was the fabreng. The place was packed. Chmein, how packed was it? There were people outside. Rabbi Meshkel, Zayin Gesund, Rabbi Alter Menzir Mesker says he was learning in Yeshiva University. Him and a bunch of his chaverim, the talmidim of Rabbi Yochsheber, and they said they wanted to see how Lubavitch makes a melech, how Lubavitch makes a rebbe. They probably had some idea what Rabbi Yochsheber thought of the rebbe. He came to that first fabrengen and he never left. That's the story. He came Yud Shvat Tov Shin Yud Aleph, and that was it. This was one of the kinyonim of that fabrengen was Rabbi Metzger. Anyway, so Rabbi Herson describes Rebbe walking into the room, and there was pushed no way. The Rebbe gets his place. The Rebbe's place is the far end of the room. The Rebbe sits in Mizrach Dorim, in the southern side, and the entrance to the room is in the northern side. So he says, the Rebbe took a look, and everybody's trying to figure out now who's going to move and how they're going to move. And in an instant, the Rebbe had a foot on a bench, then a foot on the table, and then two or three skips, he was in his place. He walked over the tables, but he did it so efficiently, so quickly, people didn't have a chance to even help him. It was done. He was in his place. And the Rebbe made a Fabrengen. And we've heard the tape of the Fabrengen. We've read the Sichas of the Fabrengen. We've learned the Fabrengen. The story of the Rebbe's Kabbalah Sadasiyas is Bekitzer Beklolos. The Rebbe was hesitating. However you explain hesitation. The Rebbe said no, however you explain the no. I have to tell you the story. I apologize for interrupting my interruption with another interruption. But I read this Nishlank, where... Many people came over to the Rebbe and asked the Rebbe that the Rebbe should mekabel the nesius. And the Rebbe went through different periods where he gave different reasons why not. One of the most prominent excuses that the Rebbe gave is Echav neshken hera. The Friedrich Rebbe didn't tell me. If the Friedrich Rebbe would tell me, I would do it, but the Friedrich Rebbe didn't tell me. And people had many rayas that the Rebbe knew from other sources, and the Rebbe would say, all those things may be true, but you have heard from Shved. The Friedrich Rebbe never told me about the Nesias. So a Yid, it's such a sweet story, a Yid was talking to the Rebbe about the Nesias, and the Rebbe said, and this Yid said to the Rebbe, quote, it's very hard for me to believe that the Rebbe has no Heirah. It's very hard for me to believe that the Rebbe has no Heirah. So the Rebbe said to him, Shaklin, you accuse me of being a liar? So he says to the Rebbe the following. He says, the Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe's father, hesitated to become a Rebbe for many, many years. And one of the reasons he gave for his hesitation was that he wasn't instructed to be a Rebbe. We now know that before Bar Mitzvah, the Rebbe Marash told him that he's a Rebbe. So he says to the Rebbe, how could the Rebbe Rashab say he had no Heirah? His father told before Bar Mitzvah he's meant to be a Rebbe. In the Teretz, nit alles kemen verstehen. Not everything can be understood. So he tells the Rebbe, just like that can't be understood, this can't be understood. And the Rebbe laughed. He told the Rebbe that it's hard for him to believe as a Hotnish Kein Heirah. And then the Rebbe said, are you accusing me of being a liar? He said, no, some things you can't understand. And the Rebbe laughed. You understand? The laugh was a response, was an answer. But anyway, so the Rebbe was probably makabel the nesius. But the vort is, this is printed in Svarim. I noticed from reliable sources that when the Rebbe was makabel the nesius, it was not equivocal. Mm-hmm. The Rebbe didn't play a halfway game. Nisht, yo. No was no, yeah was yeah. I heard, and I think I read, that the Rabbi Zalman Gerari asked the Rebbe how he wants the Kabbal Sanasiyas to be, and the Rebbe said, I want it to be in every newspaper. In other words, if the Rebbe is going to be a Rebbe, it's going to be a Rebbe. And it's going to be Bego'oin. It's going to be with all the authority, with all the power, and all the respect that the position requires and demands and deserves. So when it was no, but yeah, you know, the Rebbe comes in the Sias, mit dem ganzen Goyim. And the Rebbe sat down to Fabreng, and he spoke about Nesias. The Rebbe came into that Fabrengen, he didn't beat around the bush. He started off right away talking about what it means being a Rebbe. And amongst the things that the Rebbe said then was that in America there's a minig, that when you take a new position, you have to make a statement, and the statement has to be radical. So the Rebbe says, the Friedrich Rebbe used to say, that when you come to a new civilization, a new group, a new community, you have to follow their nimus, their etiquette, their culture. So the Rebbe said, the Rebbe said, I'm not sure if this is how it has to be, but nevertheless, and the Rebbe made an official statement for the Kabbal Sanasiyas. There were many things that the Rebbe spoke at that time that were very clearly indicators. In other words, he was saying straight. He didn't say, I'm a Rebbe. He said, but this is the situation, you understand? So, of course, the end of the story was that there was a Yid whose name was Nemtsov. Send the Nemtsov. He was the father-in-law of Rabbi Nissim Mendel, of the Rebbe's secretary, Nissim Mendel. And he got up on the table. He was an elder of Chassid. And he basically said that the Chassidim wanted the Rebbe's Chassidus. And the Rebbe smiled. The Rebbe told him to get off the table. And then the Rebbe started saying, the Basilagani, Ashkech. The Rebbe said, the Maim Basilagani. The Rebbe said, the Maim Basilagani. The Maimah Basilagani, you've heard it, it's a very unusual Maimah. It's a very, very, Rabbi Yael said, when the Rebbe said the Maimah Basilagani, the fact that he said a Maimah was so important that nobody paid attention to what he said. It didn't. What he said was secondary to the fact that he said. It took years for people to unpack the content of the Maimah, about Deir HaShvi and Deir HaBetachtoinim, all the things that the Rebbe spoke in the Maimah, which are, that maimed is the foundation of the whole of all the Torah of the Rebbe is in that one maimed. And during the maimed, the Rebbe mentioned all the Rebbeim 5 times. He mentioned all from the Alter Rebbe. He said a Torah from each Rebbe 2 times. He told a story from each Rebbe. He mentioned the names of each Rebbe, and he also had them sing a niggun of each Rebbe. The Rebbe interrupted the maimed 2 times. The maimed wasn't straight. He said 3 pirakim and he stopped, and he asked they should sing several nigunim. Then he said 2 more prakim, and he stopped the second time and asked they should sing 7 more nigunim or 1 nigun. Then he finished the maimer, and during, over the course, around the maimer, the Rebbe said a nigam from each one of the Rebbeim, from the Alter Rebbe. And as you know, Shabbos, the Rebbe said, why did I only start from the Alter Rebbe? Why didn't I start from the Baal Shem Tov? So he said, because that's what the Friedrich Rebbe did by my chasanim. When I got married, my chasanim said the Friedrich Rebbe invited only from the Alter Rebbe. So I decided also, but the Rebbe said, I thought it over. And I said to myself, why shouldn't I include also the Baal Shem Tov in the Maggid? So Shabbos after Yud Shvat that year, the Rebbe said a short little maimer I shavet Bagadim. Rav Yel says that the Bechias Shabbos are given ergive the Bechias Yud Shvat. You can hear the tape of the maimer from Wednesday night. The Rebbe was very emotional. Rav Yel said Shabbos, the Rebbe was so emotional you couldn't hear the words. The Rebbe was incredibly emotional. He cried, and he added the Baal Shem Tov in the Maggid. So to me, I mean, I don't think that this is a great insight. Take beim Friedigen Rebbe, hat es gegeben von alten Rebbe. Take also beim Friedigen Rebbe, hat es gegeben von alten Rebbe. And the Rebbe becomes a Rebbe. And he invites the alte Rebbe to the Verbringen, and the mittlere Rebbe to the Verbringen, the Zemach Zeri to the Verbringen, the Rebbe Marash to the Verbringen, the Rebbe Rashab to the Verbringen. And the Baal Shem Tov says, was mit mir? You know, who tell us Baal Shem Tov Zal in our generation is not anymore a discussion. It's not wegen was reden. So the Baal Shem Tov invited himself, the Maggid said, okay, so the Rebbe said he thought it over and he invited. So from then on, and every Basi Lagan, the Rebbe mentioned four old Rabbeim from the Baal Shem Tov. But of course, the thing was that the Rebbe finished the Maimir, and then the Rebbe spoke another Sikh. It's 5 minutes, and there's a tape of it. You're just missing the first words, which are very important. The Rebbe started the Sikh with the words, it's the Hetzachayim Yidin. That's how he started. He said it in the tune of a Maimir. He didn't say it like a Sikh. And what he said in those 5 minutes were, understand that this is a symbiosis. This is a two-way deal. Don't think that you put somebody at the helm, you put him to sit in the chair, and he's going to work day and night and going to exhaust himself, and everybody else is going to be able to relax. Understand that Rebbe said that you put me in charge of the ship so that I should manage it, but everybody has their own work to do. So Rabbi Herson says, and he said, the Rebbe made it very clear from the beginning that the way his nesis is going to operate is that the chassidim are shutfim. Chassidim are not just mekablim. Chassidim, even in the derech of Chabad, in Chabad b'klal, there's the idea of avoyde b'koyach atzmei, but the Rebbe made it very, very clear that the way is this nesis is going to operate is that chassidim have a responsibility. The Rebbe didn't say to help the Rebbe. The Rebbe said to do their job, and the Rebbe will help them. That's how the Rebbe phrased it. You have a job to do, and I'll help you. So Rabbi Herson said that this is how it was from the first minute. It's how it is. Adayei mazeh, a chosid in our generation has a job to do. So now, most of the people sitting in this room live in Crown Heights. Which means, officially, that we're not shluchim. We're not zoyche to be shluchim, right? Some of us are malamdim, are kli kodesh, which is a different kind of shliches. But many of us are balabatim. Many of us are balabatim. And I think it's very important. On Yud Shvat, you know, I'm a great storyteller. I could sit here and tell stories, and you'll sit and you'll listen to Noam, and everyone will go home and they'll sleep zeh gishmak, and it'll be a total waste of time. I'm a vil wissen the ma'aseh this is. If we want to take Yud Shvat seriously, we must mention the idea of avoido, that there's work to be done, that the way Lubavitch always was, and especially in our generation, Lubavitch, he was Fabreng for us many years ago when we were Bachem in Yeshiva, and he said, and we had a very geschmack of Fabreng, and late in the night, when he was Tevlev Bach Bayoyin, he says, he was in Yeshiva, Bacher, there was a Fabrengin, where the Rebbe was talking about Teim Chetmimim, and at one point the Rebbe shouted, Has gelernt in Teim Chetmimim, two epis, you learned in Teim Chetmimim, do something. Do something. There's a wonderful story with Harav Motel Zayin, Tzalav HaSholem. He's already in El Memes. They interviewed him on Jem. Rabbi Zayin, Motel Zayin, lived in Brazil. Got married, moved to Brazil. Listen to the story. He opened a business. What was his business? He was going to make rain and shine coats. Raincoats, not winter coats, raincoats. And he had a whole plan, and he had a whole factory. And he came to the Rebbe for a bracha. Came to Yechidus from Brazil to New York. And he went into the Rebbe. And he told the Rebbe about his plans. And the Rebbe heard him out. And the Rebbe counseled him. The Rebbe advised him. and the Rebbe gave him brachas. The Rebbe sort of completely supported the entire effort. And the yechidus was over, and he's walking out, and the Rebbe suddenly looks up at him and says, "Wo hast du gelernt? Where did you learn? Wo hast du gelernt?" Like as if, "What's your name?" You know. The Rebbe was Masad the Kedushin by his chassid. The Rebbe officiated at his wedding. The Rebbe didn't know where he learned. He learned in 770. But the Rebbe asks him, the Gan Satmimis, "Wo hast du gelernt?" It was a very painful question, like as if the Rebbe doesn't know who I am. So he says to the Rebbe, with a bit of surprise, "Doh, what did I learn? I learned here." So the Rebbe said to him, "Wie kennst du schlafen ruhig bei Nacht? As du weißt, as a moisit from the Rebbe, from the Mishver, halt sich bei Famach. How could you sleep at night knowing that an institution that the Rebbe started is being closed?" It's an interesting story. I don't want to tell the Arichas Hasip, but bottom line is, he literally stayed in New York. He arranged that his wife and his family should come here, and he went to that place. This was the story. You learned in Temchet Mimim. He was selling coats. You know, the Farsi led Temchet Mimim. Sigven Achosik is in Zelik Slonim. Zelik Slonim was a chosik. He learned from Lubavitch. He got married. He was originally in Israel, Ayin Shleimer. His father passed away when he was young. His mother remarried to Nata Lubavitcher, to Guterid Nishka Lubavitcher. But she knew that her former husband would very much have wanted that his sons should get a Lubavitcher chinuch. So she literally traveled to Lubavitch from Israel and deposited him as a boy of 14 in Lubavitch. And he grew up in Lubavitch. Zelik Slonim was a special chosid, very, very special man. He moved back to Israel. And he got married, and he opened the business. And he writes a letter to the Friedrich Rebbe that he opened this business, and the Rebbe writes him a letter that Temchet Mimim gives a certain chinuch, and the chinuch of Temchet Mimim is supposed to create a certain peidi, a certain fruit, and that many of the Tmimim are failing at this inyan. And he basically told him, "You didn't learn in Lubavitch to press pants," whatever his business was. Anyway, he sold his machine that he had just purchased, and he went all over the world. In 1924, he was in South Africa, he was in Australia, he was in America. He circumnavigated the globe. The Rebbe wrote to him, "Atomim davepistan." So I'm, first of all, if I want to criticize, I could take a look in the mirror. I got plenty of things to see which are not beseded. But it's very important for us, those of us who are not, you know, our pandas is not from shlichas. Let's use these oisies. We don't make a living for being makad of another yitz of the Meibishn. We don't make our gashmias and our ruchnias are in two places. Yutzrat is our day, and the Rebbe is our Rebbe, because we do what we can. And it's important to understand this idea that everybody, every person, can find a way to be a chassid, and being a chassid in our generation is a tikra vayikra ela vayakri. Being a chos in our generation has been makar of another yid. That other yid could be your neighbor. The other yid could be your neighbor's son. But there's a conscientiousness, there's a sense of achrayis. I'm a Lubavitcher, and as a Lubavitcher, I have a responsibility. And if you need a justification, if you need an excuse, the excuse is, I want to be able to look the Rebbe in the eyes, or at least not have to look away when he looks at me. My chasidus, my Lubavitch, it's because I'm a kind of this person. I opened up my home to these people. I did this good action. That's very realistic. I hate guilt trips. I spent my entire childhood being given guilt trips. I never, ever became a better person because of guilt trips. And I have no intention of making anybody feel guilty. But I do want to make the point that this is... every person who has a connection to the Rebbe has an opportunity and an obligation. The opportunity is, there's no such thing as a person who cannot be makar of another yid. Doesn't mean mitzias. You have to just want it, and you have to just look for it. And you have to appreciate that it's a choyves gavra, you understand? It's not only that the work needs to get done, but that I need to do it. If I'm a Lubavitcher, I have to be able to explain to myself, I'll be able to have to explain to the Rebbe, how I'm a Lubavitcher. I'm a Lubavitcher in the good actions that I do. And everybody has, you know, it says an hayyim yoyim about the inyan of the sayadus. Nu zebe gufei, zebe mamoinoi, zebe etoi, zebe neumoi, zebe etoi. One is a chosid. with his body, another is a chassid with his voice, another is a chassid with his wallet, another is a chassid with his pen. You find a way that's realistic for you. In other words, it's not about trying to do what you cannot do. It's about finding a way to if you live in Crown Heights, you know, the shluchim, we should call us farmers. Yeah. We shouldn't be, we're Yeshua Malakalim, that's the truth. Crown Heights is a Yeshua Malakalim, no question about it. We're Sakumtuns, Chatzi. We're going to debate that a different time. But we have to be able to tell ourselves, Chsidim Anu Bameh. And I'm Fadish mean that we should undertake things that we could do. We're not Superman. We don't have to be Superman. We have to be ourselves. And within the parameters of who we are, we have to understand that it's important for us. It's not only enough that the work gets done. It's important for us that we should be shutfim. And I feel that this is the only thing that really matters. When you have a fabreng and you're tshvat, the only thing that really matters is that every person should walk away from the fabreng and not feeling bad about himself, but feeling that there's something I could do tomorrow that I didn't do today and I didn't do yesterday that will bring me practically and actionably closer to the Rebbe. The Rebbe made chassidus simple. It's a series of actions. The meditation and the spirituality and the feelings are gravy. They're extra. They're schad. The Rebbe made Lubavitch into Hamaisa Hua Ike Lehamedishika Lamaisa. Every person can do one good deed, can do many good deeds. You know, the Friedike Rebbe made an organization that was called, what was it called? No. The Friedike Rebbe made an organization, I can't believe I'm a bit blank. No. Machane Yisrael. Friedike Rebbe made four organizations, and everything was legal and on the books, mit Alagutazach lawyers. He made Merkez Agane Chinuch, which of course is Lubavitch's Merkez. The side was Agudas Chassidic Chabad was the foundational organization, and in the parameters of Agudas Chassidic Chabad, he made a publishing house. I saw Sfarim Kahas, a publishing house, and then he made Machne Yisrael. Nobody knows what Machne Yisrael is, but if you read the Igros Kodesh, go back to the olden days, the 1940s, and you'll find out what Machne Yisrael was. Machane Yisrael was an organization that was made for frum people. For frum people. Machane Yisrael was designed to be secret. That means if you're a member of Machane Yisrael, nobody else is allowed to know that you're a member. Meaning to say, the Friedrich Rebbe knew, the Rebbe was the secretary, the executive director of Machane Yisrael, but the design of the Moisid was that no member knows what the other members. And there were membership dues. What were the membership dues of Machane Yisrael? So you're talking about the mid and early 40s and the late 40s. The membership dues of Machane Yisrael were two pu'ulos tovus of kiruv a month. To be a member of Machane Yisrael, you signed up as official member of Machane Yisrael, and your dues to remain a member was that each month you do two pu'ulos to be mekarev another year mikos mevishin. And apparently, in the good old days, Machane Yisrael had hundreds of members. I heard the number over 700 members. Hundreds of Yidden, not Lubavitcher. Elche Yidden, Frume Yidden, Haredi Yidden, who lived in America, and they saw what was happening. And the Rebbe came. And the Rebbe was not overwhelmed by America. The Rebbe didn't have his will swallowed up by America. And the Rebbe was going to take on the whole America. And they said, I can't take on America, but I can follow him. And they were Yungalite Yidden. Yungi Yidden, Alta Yidden, their stories. I mean, the people who tell these stories, unfortunately, are not here with us. Rabbi Fogelman from Worcester had stories about people in Brooklyn who he would go as the shliach of the Rebbe. The Rebbe had all kinds of connections. And the whole requirement was two p'ulis achoydish. Two actions of kid of a month. That's not so far-fetched. Huh? If you include two p'ulis of kid of a month, and you go to shul on a Friday night, and your neighbor's kid, he needs a little help with homework, and you sit down and you learn with him. That's and I could do that. Ich kenne das machen. It's not a big deal. It's not an inconvenience to me. It's me to mincha meidiv. So I'll miss out on talking about who's the next president. Yeah, okay. But I'm saying I feel it's very important that it has to be said. And you know, ich bin nicht kein Greise. I'm no better than anybody else. This is my My the matzav like it's yours. A person whose life is shlichus doesn't have a choice. You understand? This is it. His whole mitzvah is atzeit yidden. And the shlichus mitzvahs nefesh shluchim. But every person can be that. We can all find ways to be able to go to the oil and say, this is what I did because I'm a Lubavitcher this month. This is what I did because I'm a Lubavitcher this week. This is what I did because I'm a Lubavitcher this day. Whether it's with my pen, or it's with my wallet, or it's with my voice, or it's with my body. And this is very important to us to understand. And the ikir is not to chas v'sholem feel criticized, or pushed away, or overwhelmed. Rather, figure out what's realistic. That's all. Figure out what I can do to make another yid. And you know, there's a funny thing about kiduv. I don't know if you're aware of this. Everybody knows this. Anybody who's been involved in being make another yid, the fact of life is that you try to be make a tzveit and yid, and all of a sudden you find yourself becoming more religious. Sometimes it frightens you. You know, me, ich bin doch Chabad middleweight. I'm not Chabad light, but I'm not Chabad heavy. You start with Makadav Atzveit and Yidden, and you see that this is the best thing you can do for yourself. So L'chaim B'Levach, I want to say, this is Achsidish and Fabreng. We're all the Bavach Achsidim. We're all in our own way, Shluchim of the Rebbe. And we should figure out mitvos. We should figure out our Nekuda, our medium of Hiskashas, and we should do it B'Simcha. We should do it B'Simcha. We should do it with a sense. Thank God I'm a Lubavitcher. Thank God I have a connection to Didal Ramis. And thank God I can say, you know, Mashiach's going to come. Yeah, and then we're going to have to look the Rebbe in the eye. I don't know what I'm going to do when that happens. But we'll all be able to say, I did this. Yeah, there's a lot of things I didn't do. There's a lot of things I did that I shouldn't have done. But this I did. L'chaim of the
Rebbe.
So I can think of the Rebbe.
But I'm not going to take away the mic from you because you are our mashpia for tonight. But to be mechazek something, many times we're doing, but we don't see any results. That therefore, we're stopping from doing. I want to tell you a very short story about my mother and the Rebbe. My mother passed away 2 years ago, and I love to mention her because she was my mashpia, my everything in my life, and she was teaching me a lot. When she was younger, before she married my father, she was not Lubavitch. But then she became Lubavitch through my father, and the Rebbe wrote a few times by letters to my father and my mother, Betach mishtatefes be'ulois v'neshei Chabad v'Yerushalayim. I'm sure you are part of Neshei Chabad v'Yerushalayim, the Pe'ulois, the activities. And she did a little bit, yes and no, yes and no. Then she started to be mamish, activist in Neshei Chabad in Mifzoyim. She did twice a week a trip to a neighborhood called Gilo in Yerushalayim, a non-form neighborhood, and she was doing bikurei bayit, home visits, to speak about mainly Taras HaMishpoche, but also other Mifzoyim. But at the beginning she had a very big atzloche. Baruch Hashem, through my family, through my father and my mother's house, there is over 100 families Baalei Tshuva, from 25, 27 years. But was a specific time that she felt that there is no results. She goes sometime again and again to the same family, and no results. Yeah, they're welcoming nice, they're putting a bottle of soda, maybe a tea or coffee, but results with Taras HaMishpoche, Neros Shabbos, Koidesh, or whatever, she didn't see. So she says, maybe I'm already too old for that. Anyway, in the same season, she was traveling to Vienne. My sister lived in Vienne for almost 2 years. Not a Lubavitcher sister, they are Polish, but one of the Koilel in Wien, Rabbi Schwartz, Koilel, Rabbi Yonah Schwartz, a Polish or Hungarian, he got Avreichim from Yerushalayim or from Eretz Yisrael to be Mechazek the Koilel. So my brother-in-law was one of them. My mother was born in Wien. She knew the language also, Deutsch. So she was traveling for 2 weeks to be with them to help them. On the way, on the aeroplane, across the aisle was sitting a family, like two rows, a father and a mother and two children. And they were speaking Hebrew and Deutsch, like a mix. My mother was curious to know what's the story of this family. The mother had a very strong Israeli accent, the father a European accent. And my mother was not like, you know, in Yerushalayim, they say, when you want to close your window by night, you have to ask your neighbor to take out his nose. She wasn't like that. But in a good way, how can I help another person? She wanted to know what's the story of this family. So in those days, if you remember, if you were traveling then, if you wanted to smoke a cigarette, you could do it in the back of the airplane. So when the husband went to have a cigarette break in the back of the airplane, my mother started a conversation with the lady in Hebrew. And the story is like that, in very short. They married, they knew each other in Ben Gurion University. He is a Yid and she is a Yid. Baruch Hashem, that before they married, she promised him that she is going to win 2 years after the Chasene, because there is a very mutzlach dike, a success family business there, and he has to live in Europe, in next to Vin. And 4 years after the Chasene, a baby, she slept him, and he used to travel 5-6 times a year in Vin to the business. And now it's already 8 or 9 years after the Chasene, they have two children, and he said to her, I am going to live in Vin. If you are coming, good. If not, I will be upset, I will be sad. We have a good Sholem Bayis, Baruch Hashem, but I'm not staying in Eretz Yisrael. And she decided to keep her promise, and they sent a container with all the belongings, and now they're traveling with the children. Anyway, meanwhile, while they are talking, my mother and the lady, the father comes, and she speaks to him also. Anyway, they spoke over 2 hours. The traveling is three and a half hours. They spoke over 2 hours together. When they finished the conversation, when they landed, my mother had a achlote with them that because they're going to Chutz Loretz, it's not like today, every corner you have a shul or whatever. This was 40 years ago. And you didn't have... No, this was after Rabbi Biderman was already a shliach there. But very, very fresh, the shliches. She convinced him to do tefillin at least a few times a week, and she should do candlelights. Not like today that you can Google and see what's the candlelights time for Wien or for any place in the world. So she gave them her telephone number for Rabbi Biderman that they can buy tefillin and they can have the schedule for the Shabbos candles for the year. And he will, like a luach. When my mother goes down from the airplane, she feels someone is knocking on her shoulders. She's turning around, she sees an old couple, and the lady knocks on my mother's shoulders. And my mother spoke to them in Deutsch, mainly. They said, we know you spoke a private conversation with this couple.
Yeah, but I'm
sorry that we was listening, you spoke very, very loud. We couldn't not hear what you say. They live in Vienna from the war. They was from not a very religious family before the war, but the Tate, his father, used to make Kiddush, Yom Kippur used to go to shul, he used to do some time tefillin, but never again after the war. He doesn't have any more tefillin even, and she never did candle lightings after the war. Can we have, please, the telephone number of the rabbi that you gave this car? She gave it. After 2 weeks, she was traveling back to Eretz Yisrael. She wrote to the Rebbe, after a little while, that she, again, she didn't see any results in Gilo, when she went to the Bikurei Bais. She writes to the Rebbe that she wants to stop and she will start giving hartzaot, speeches, because she was very good in speaking and she did it the past 20 years. And she will give over other people to do what she is doing. Meanwhile, she's also writing B'derech Agav what happened on the aeroplane. I don't remember the exact words. My father has the teshuvah, but the Rebbe made like a circle or an underline under what she wrote. Ani mityayeshet. Lefamim ani mityayeshet. Sometimes I want to give up. The Rebbe wrote a question mark. Ani mityayeshet? You're giving up? And the Rebbe made a chetz,
arrow
to the story, what she writes about the aeroplane. And the Rebbe says, be'erich like that. והרי מסתויכן זה במכתובו סויסרץ עצמו. From this part of the letter, you are contradicting yourself. Means we don't have to make any חשבנס about results. We have to do, like Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok is talking to us and to himself and to every resident of Konaitz. I can see I'm not a shliach. Maybe I'm a shliach, because the Rebbe made me a shliach top shimem test. But I live now in Konaitz and I'm a boss working kashrus. Every second, every minute, everywhere that you go, you can do shliches, of course, twice a month. Over l'chaim, l'am yovai to fabrengen. I'm shooting.
Hello.
L'chaim.
I don't know where is the mother.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but you're focusing on everyone else.
This is so much easier. Yeah. The best way to play.
Yeah.
Downstairs to the kitchen from this side, all drinks from the refrigerator to bring. You're gonna help me for the Fabringen. Thank you so much, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, dan gaan we de bracha. What is that supposed to mean? What's with Tamal? Why are you saying it? Also? I mentioned the Rosh. L'chaim v'l'bracha. He was, for me, was in an optimum chassid.
Really?
You know why? He was a Rosh Hashiva. He was a London. And Rabbi Kunyan said to him that if he doesn't take the Gashmis in Yeshiva, he's closer to Yeshiva. So he made the terrible mistake of asking the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said he should do it, and he took it on. In the beginning, he was paying the morris from nursery, Rabbi Ezra Shochet. It was hepech tivei legamre. And he did it for years. Yeah, no, what's a chassid? What's a chassid? Someone makes fun of his nagdim? Yeah, no. A dozen zachos. You understand? And you can't forget that. No, well, it's Baruch Hashem evolved. Chaim v'levracha, menet lashon hara, and the chidus of Meitz Hashem. We want to spare you the avedus. Once the Shabbos, it's the rishon l'ches ben avedus. Chaim v'levracha. What I'm saying is not exaggerated. It's metzias. Okay, yeah. We kept different hours, me and him, so he knows different parts of the shlichus. Chaim, Chaim, everybody, Chaim v'levracha, Chaim v'levracha.
Have I told you ever that the Rebbe changed my father's plan?
The tale?
No, so in very short, Rabbi Paltiel is saying stories about people that the Rebbe changed their plans in life. So my father, first time when he was traveling to the Rebbe was Shnas HaShivim, Yudalef Nissen. For Yerushalayim Yid to travel 3 days before Pesach to the Rebbe, Shnas HaShivim was a chidush. Besides the fact that the ticket was expensive, also to leave his wife with 11 children at home, Liay Nore was, this is the number that was then. And then, but my mother agreed. You should go, and she says, if you go, I agree, you should stay until the first day of Chol HaMoed. Why? Because don't go, and he couldn't go much before, because work and also helping my mother for Pesach. So go mamesh before Yud Aleph Nissen and come back after the first 2 days of Pesach. He stayed by Prager, who was a friend of him, he lives now on Eastern Parkway. Prager.
Prager.
Arye Prager.
Yeah, and he was at Tarmid in Tel Asemes. He was living with my father in Tel Asemes, but the youth. So he stayed by him, and he went into Yechides. He wrote to the Rebbe a letter with all the bakoshes, and also that my mother agreed he should stay until after the first 2 days of Yom Tov. And he also mentioned that he stays by Prager, his friend from Tel Asemes, Rabbi Levi, my father's brother-in-law, lived then. No, this was before he was even my brother-in-law. Maybe yes, but they lived in Nachlin. If it was already after the Chassin, they lived in Nachlin, not in New York. Anyway, my father went into the Chides, and he wrote that my mother gave us kome, he should stay here for the first 2 days, and he asked a broche and ate it. The Rebbe answered him about everything. The Rebbe didn't mention anything about him staying here for Pesach. But the morning after, my father is eating breakfast with Prager. And Rabbi Chadokov calls, and he says, if Weinfeld is by him from Yerushalayim, he says yes, and he gave my father the phone. And Rabbi Chadokov says that the Rebbe asked him to ask my father if my father would say yes to have the schus to take the matzis to Yerushalayim before Pesach. And we had my father for Leila Seder.
The Rebbe had say a good pashtan and I. He out Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi. No, calm me. Das hast du getracht. Ich habe es männlich, wie gesagt.
Anyway, das ist unser Rebbe. Das ist unser Rebbe. Okay? Changing plans, not only of evil care in the world, also to thinking about a mother and 11 children.
Very good, very good, very geschmack. Okay, let me say, I see the thing, say, and the Rebbe gave us Negunim, we should sing the Rebbe's Negunim. Ho, L.A.
Keino, ho, Abino, ho, Mal, Keino, Moishi, Eino, Ala, Yo, Yo, Shi, Eino, Eino, Leina, Ya, Shi, Eino,
la 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 la
la la la la la la la la la.
There was a Jew in Arizona, not a Lubavitcher, but he came there before the war and he shook him and he walked in Chinuch. So the Rebbe was involved with him. Then the Rebbe was involved with the Shidduch. Then they had a child. The child was very, very sick. The Rebbe saved him. They decided he's coming to the Rebbe. And Yud Nissan, like you said, before Pesach, he came to say thank you. But he came here, it was Yud Aleph Nissan. He saw such a... So he stayed with the Brengen and he told his relatives in Brighton Beach it would be only 1 hour, but obviously it wasn't till the end. And then it was already a Yud Beis Nissan, and I don't know, the Holy Chiddush or something, the Maskirim said, forget about it. He said he came from Arizona just to say thank you to the Rabbi. That's it. Okay. He came, it was 2 o'clock at night, and the Rabbi, like you said before, the Rabbi accepted his thank you, but the Rabbi said, I wrote you some things that you did not do enough in Chinuch. He did a lot, but I want you to do more. Fine. Before he's leaving, the rabbi is telling him, would you like to do a personal favor for me? Of course, he said. So the rabbi said, okay, so go out, and Rabbi Chalifo will tell you what to do. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. He comes in, so Rabbi Chalifo takes a package, and he said to him, the Rebbe wants you to take this package to Taylor. Taylor, what is that? It's a name of a place. Person. So Rabbi Chalikov, do you know Rabbi Chalikov?
No. You know Rabbi Chalikov.
I knew it, yeah. Rabbi Chalikov just looked at him like, Taylor, that's a town in Texas. It was one day before Pesach. And he was scheduled to go back straight to Arizona. How could he go to Texas? So he was thinking maybe he'll take a flight ahead and a flight, but it was impossible. Okay, but Rabbi Chalikov said to him, that means that I have to tell the Rebbe that you're refusing to take him. Rabbi Chalikov said, no, I'll take it. Fine, he takes the package and he's just before he's going out, he's asking Rabbi Chalikov, to whom should I give it in Taylor? Rabbi Chalikov didn't answer him, just looked at him like, what are you asking so many questions? The Rebbe wants you to take it. Take it! He ran out. He didn't know what Taylor is. He called right away to the airport. Nobody heard. So he felt a little better. He's not the only... Nobody heard about Taylor, this place. Okay. Late, he had to go to base, 7 o'clock, he had to go eat ride, all kinds of ideas to go to Texas, take a car from there to Arizona, or maybe to go out to Arizona and then to fight, it was impossible. He went in the airplane with a bitter feeling. Who is the Rebbe asking, do me a personal favor? And the Rebbe saved his child. And the Rebbe is asking him, and he is such a lo yutzlach, I don't know. What should he do? He didn't know what to do. Es gleich a schlafen gewon in the airplane. He was pushed to brachon. After 3 hours, announcement from the
pilot,
captain, small takrit, small type. We have to land just for half an hour in Taylor. So he's calling the stewards. Will Taylor. Could you say it again? Taylor, T-Y-L-E-R. He couldn't. So, as given his man, landed in Taylor. But Taylor is given such a small place in Texas that the airport is not even active there. But because of the emergency landing, they had to be called the mechanics, technicians, 40 people. Okay, he's a airport. What about the show? I'm going to every person that he asked, there were no strangers, they're only the technicians. They are Jews, they don't know, they don't know what he's talking about. What should he do? Meet them all! A couple is coming to him. They didn't look even Yiddish. She was dressed a little bit more sneezy, but he was, you have to pass the package from the Rebbe, right? He had the question of $1 million. He gave it to them. He was so overwhelmed and they were so thankful. But he wanted to ask them, who are you? Who do you know? They disappeared. Aliyah Mazeh, he doesn't know the answer. But the Rabbi Veer, fear the ois. And it's all in the back, it's not to sign, the Rabbi was to sign vegan. I can't shake the palm and start there. I talk for a face, I have to label a slony. He said the Maise, he was later became a principal in Baltimore. Not only just in Yomin Sadeh. It's given such a but then give it to him.
It was a kinnis of Mechanchim, in other words.
Chaim,
yeah.
Please.
Okay, you see, Mali, you say, send it to me.
Okay, I'll tell a story. This is Freda. Go outside. I need my phone. Don't leave it. The story is well known. It's a famous story. I'm not telling the story because people don't know it. I'm telling the story because it's a mitzvah l'saper, I suppose. Again, everybody knows this maise, and I once told a story, and I got a lot of complaints that I didn't tell the story correctly, so I'm telling it If I make mistakes, there's a family that now lives all over the world called Hasofer, Hasofer, Hasofer. They're in Australia, in Sydney. This, again, the story is well known. I'm just telling the story anyway. Their story is that they were tzioinim. They were very, very dedicated Zionists. They believed. They were maminim. And there was an ideological cause. There was a cause which was based on principle and righteousness and goodness and sacrifice. And they were believers. They were in. And then Nebuch, Israel became what they call the Medinat Israel, the state, as they call it. And the minute Et Yisrael became not just a theory and a wish, but a reality, all of the ideology became politics. Mi Berosh, they were so turned off. And there were a lot of people like that who were great Samaminim, big believers, and then when they saw what happened, man, it was a big turn off. They were so turned off that they decided that they can go as far away from Et Yisrael as possible. So they moved to Tasmania, in Tasmania. Which is a hole in a hole in a hole. You can't go any place further and be on planet Earth. And they wanted nothing to do with Jews and with anything. They were not even religious. They were just Zionim, Zionists. And they were so disappointed by how it all turned out. When they came to Tasmania, they raised their children without any das, without any religion. Their kids went to school. And of course, one of the problems that Jewish children face is when it comes a certain time of the year, the goyim lahav lahav derin yonim. And the Jews don't have those things. So the kids came home and the kids complained. And the parents explained to them that they don't believe in any of these things. You know, the famous line, I love to tell this joke. A kid come home from, we went to private school, to Catholic school, and he comes home from school. He tells his parents that he learned, that's a da, eine, zwei, and drei. It's 1, 2, 3. So his father grabs him and says, listen here, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe there. There's only one and we don't believe in him. There's only one and we don't believe in him. Anyway, the Hemshech HaSibur HaZoi, it turned out that in Tasmania there was a community of Jews. They were very, very unschooled. They were very simple. And they would meet. They would meet for, you want to call it Jewish religious experience, Jewish cultural experience. They would get together. And they had a Jew who knew Hebrew, who would lead their little group. This person, the Hebrew, left. So they contacted Professor Asayev. He was like both professors. They said, listen, we need you to be our rabbi. He says, it's kind of difficult for me to be a rabbi. I'm an atheist. He said, that's not a problem. You don't got to believe. You just got to perform. No one said you have to mean it. Just do it. You're the only person on the island who speaks Hebrew. So they convinced him that he's able to do it as long as it's on the table, that he doesn't believe a word of it, he's just doing it. So he came, he joined this little group, and they would get together, he talked a new Hebrew, and he would read from the Chumash, and they had a few svarim, and he started reading, and he understood what he was reading, and he would explain it to them. Anyway, Nebuch, it was contagious. His hashpah and other people got to him. But it especially got to his children. His kids became very ungevarmt, and the children became so ungevarmt that he was doubting. He had a suffix about his apokosis. Anyway, they reached a point where they read all the books that they had, the few books they had in Hebrew he read, and they were pushing out of information. And the kid was asking his father to explain different things to him, to teach him how do you do this and this, and his father said, I don't know. And all the books that they had, I think they had a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is a considerable book to have. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is a lot of information. So the story is, it's a Maisa Pele. The father says to the little boy, it was a Shabbos afternoon, says to the little boy that they read in the Chumash that there's a Meisha Rabbeinu. Meisha Rabbeinu. So they say, if this is true, Mistamad is Meisha Rabbeinu now also. So we'll dive into the Eibishter. That if Moshe Rabbeinu is real, he should come to us and he should teach us what we don't know. Shabbos afternoon, the father and the son davened that if the Torah is Emes and there is Moshe Rabbeinu should come to them and he should teach them what they need to know. The next day, Sunday, He goes out into the street, Professor Sofer, and he sees Harav, he sees Harav Chaim Gutnik, in the bird, Reitzach, and he looks lost. He looks like he doesn't know what he's doing there. He runs up to him and he gives him a bear hug, a chibuk, and he hugs him and he kisses him and he schleps him to his house.
And
they sit, I don't know what he called him. Bottom line is, he answered all their questions and they created a connection. He sent them Sfarim. I mean, eventually they moved to Sydney. They moved to Australia, to the center of the world, to Australia, from Tasmania. But he never, ever asked him what he was doing there. What he was doing, I don't know the name of the city in Tasmania. I forgot. I mean, I told the story this morning. I told the name of the city. Bottom line is, years later, one of the Sofa girls was talking to Mrs. Feldman, who's Chaim Gutnik's Atochta. And Rabbi Gutnik's daughter says, you know, I have a story with the Rebbe. Very weird story. He says, one day my father gets a telegram from the Rebbe that he should pick himself up and go to Tasmania. Like you go to Taylor. He got a telegram. So he got on a plane, he went to Tasmania. He said, my father comes to Tasmania, and he doesn't know what to do, and a strange man walks up to him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him, shops him to his house. So the girl says, you know, that's my father. In other words, they didn't know for many, many years. But so the Rebbe wrote a letter in Tavshin Chof. It's one of the famous, famous letters of the Rebbe. As a child, my father used to read me this letter. The Rebbe gave out a letter for the Michtav Klal, for Tavshin Chof, and it's printed in a lot of Sfarim. Koel Nar Boiche. It's the Rebbe wrote every year a letter for Rosh Hashanah, for Pesach. This particular letter and the story of this letter in many of the Sfarim that came out at that time, they printed it in the beginning of the Sefer. Again, you know the story. The story of Kol Nar Boiche is that the Alter Rebbe and Mittler Rebbe lived in the same house. The Alter Rebbe lived upstairs and the Mittler Rebbe lived downstairs. The Mittler Rebbe was a Matup of Abana. Mittler Rebbe had many children. We know that he had 9 children who survived into adulthood. He had 1 or 2 more, or at least, that didn't survive. He had many children in the middle of the Rebbe. And it was in the middle of the night, and the middle of the Rebbe was learning. And one of the children woke up and fell out of the crib, fell out of the bed under the floor. And the baby was crying. And the middle of the Rebbe didn't hear. The Alter Rebbe came down from upstairs. I remember the Rebbe saying to the Maise, "Er hat verwickt dem Kind, verwickt." He picked up the baby, he wrapped him, and he cuddled him, he hugged him, and he quieted him, and he put him back in his bassinet. And the noch of the Alter Rebbe, ois gered the mittel Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe gave Musar that when a child cries, you have to hear. A child cries, you have to hear. So this is a Rebbe. A Rebbe had the Rogachover lived in Leningrad. The Rogachover gone, you heard the Rogachover was living in Leningrad for a few years. The Rogachover was not a patient man. He was not a patient man. When we were Bacharim in Alteda, we used to go on time to Kingsburg Hospital, which is Kingsburg Hospital. Every day there was a rotation. I went once a week. So one of my Chaveinim told me, he came back from Wednesday. I had Wednesdays, but every day another Bacharim, group of Bacharim went to Kingsburg. He said he met an old man, Advinskir. The story happened 35 years ago. He came from Dvinsk. With the Rav Gershov was Rav. And he said to him, he said, don't like the Rav Gershov, they like the Ersamech. The Misnagdish Rav was Ersamech. He was a very warm man. Ersamech was a Yid from Sirius Nefesh. The Ersamech had gesagt, I've said, 9 Yidin in Dvinsk, the center. During the First World War, Dvinsk was on the border. It was mamish the front. The Rav Gershov left. And the reason the Rav Gershov left was because they used to kidnap Gedalim. The same reason that Rebbe Rashab left Lubavitch. They used to kidnap Gedalim, side the Russians, and side the Germans. Dvinsk is some of the Western Front, which means the French or the British. They used to capture Jews, because Jews didn't want to get involved. I mean, you guys want to kill each other, it's their business. Yidden don't have to be involved. And they held it against us, you know that. On both sides, how come we're not loyal Germans, how come we're not loyal Russians, how come we're not real French? They would kidnap Gedali Yisrael, and they would ransom them. But not for money. For favors. But in wartime, favors is Chaim Emovis. So the Gedali Yisrael went away from the front. The Esameach refused to leave. The Rogachov said, if there'll be 9 Yidden in Dvinsk, I'm the 10th. He wouldn't leave the city. But the Rogachov left and he went to Leningrad. He spent a few years in Leningrad. So of course, the Sipur HaYadua, if I'm telling stories, I might as well tell all the stories, that the Rebbe Ayatz was living in Astov, which is in the south of Russia. And the Efsektiyatam Gemach Meshugge, the Jewish communists, were absolutely down his neck. And they gave him an ultimatum. Either he moves to Leningrad, or they're putting him in jail. So the Rebbe had no choice. His father, the Rebbe Rashab, was buried in Astov. The Rebbe Rashab's house was in Astov. The Rebbe Rashab's mikvah was in Astov. But those were the choices. Either he moves to Leningrad, or they're putting him in jail. In Astov, they can watch him. The Yevsektia was even stronger. You know what the Yevsektia got for their loyalty to Stalin, yeah? 6 ounces of lead. You ever heard that expression? Yeah, 6 ounces. But it's Allah Gishasim. It's Allah Yizgahagit. But the Mizbiz Yizgahagit, I'm thinking much at Yidden. So the Friedrich Rebbe had to move to Leningrad, to what's called now Petersburg, Peterburg. But the Rogachev was there. And the Friedrich Rebbe sent two shluchim, Lubavitch and Light, with a message to the Rogachev to ask permission to come to Rostov. In other words, the Friedrich Rebbe felt that if the Rogachev is there, he needs Rishus to be in the same competition. So the Chassidim decided, the Spitz Chabad. So they didn't come to the Rogachev and say that the Friedrich Rebbe is asking permission. They came to the Rogachev and they said that the Rebbe is coming to town, it's time for you to leave. They didn't start in Deir HaShvi, we just perfected it. We made it into an island. Anyway, so they came to the Rogachev. You have to understand, the Rogachev was not older than the Friedrich Rebbe. The Rogachev was older than the Rebbe Rashab. And they told him, the Rebbe is coming to town, it's time for you to leave. Okay, I don't know what the Rogachev did, but the Rogachev heard. When the Friedrich Rebbe heard what these Chevre pulled off, the Friedrich Rebbe was very upset. He said, you go back and ask Mechila right away. So one of them listened. And he came running like a tatale, and he bat Mechila. And the Rogachev said, you're a chassid. You did what you felt because what the Rebbe wants. And now the Rebbe told you, ask Mechila to the Mechila Gevesen. The other one refused. He was gone in days. As I vek from the Welt, and there was no kpeide. The way the story is written is when they told the Rogachev to pack his bags, they came to the Rogachev gone, and they told him, the Rebbe is coming, it's time for you to leave. So the Rebbe, he smiled. That was it. Anyway, so the Rebbe and the Rogachev, the Friedrich Rebbe and the Rogachev lived in Leningrad for a few years. The Rogachev was much older than the Friedrich Rebbe. He was much older, much older. But he had such a derecheretz. The Rogachev had a gewaltige derecheretz for the Friedrich Rebbe. The Ferran Avort, ich habe es gesehen gedruckt. The Rogachev was Rosh Hashanah in Russia. He's not there. The Pacha was missing. So you couldn't find the power, a wire, right? You couldn't find
at sea?
I don't know. It's an apple.
Oh, it's an iPhone.
It's an apple. It's not an orange, it's an apple. This phone doesn't belong. This belongs to Inside Chassidah. I just use it for this purpose. Aminut. The Pacha does not Mamfidik and Rosh Hashanah. And it the first night Rosh Hashanah is missing. The first day Rosh Hashanah is missing. The second night Rosh Hashanah is missing. The second day Rosh Hashanah is missing. 1 second. And it comes, Rosh Hashanah, in the end of the day, and Reb Chacha Feigin shows up. So the Friedrich, Reb Chacha Feigin was the Friedrich Rebbe's secretary. He was the Menal Pel, the Yeshiva. 1 second. So the Rebbe says to Chacha, where are you for Rosh Hashanah? So he tells the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe in Russia, they stopped him on the street. They put him in jail. Why was Reb Chacha Feigin not feeding him? He was pushed sitting in jail. How he got out was a different story. But he spent Rosh Hashanah in prison. So the Friedrich Rebbe said to him, Hasgedav, try in the Rebbe help. The Friedrich Rebbe said, you should have shouted, Rebbe help. And then the Mashmos is, had he screamed, Rebbe help, he would have been by the Rebbe Rosh Hashanah. It was a very big chassid, yeah? The Rebbe told him, Gedav Shrayin, Rebbe Health. And the word is that there's an Eva Boyal Pari. Boyal Pari means that the Rebbe goes with each chassid. But, Medav Shrayin, you have to say Rebbe Health. I know for myself, when am I least likely to scream at Rebbe Helf? When I'm nervous, when I'm available. I mean, human nature is when you become out of sorts, right? When something happens to you and you're in a bad place, you're in a bad station, everything that could go wrong is Baruch Hashem, thank God, behidim and ahidim going wrong. The last thing you think about is Eibishter. Azei tev abnei adam. I'm sorry for being candid. You know, you lose yourself. And when people lose themselves, they fall back on what? On Marashchere, on Yiyush, on Nefesh HaBamis. If a person can find the clarity, when he finds himself in such a moment of matzah, to say, Rebbe Helf, the Rebbe said, Rebbe Helf, the Helf, the Rebbe, Rebbe Helf. That's our passion, Be'o Pari. Be'o Pari doesn't mean go to Pari. Be'o Pari means go with me to Pari. We are Mukusharim, we're connected to the Rebbe. We have a relationship with the Rebbe, we're connected to the Rebbe. Whatever our Madreg is, many of us saw the Rebbe, many of us interacted with the Rebbe. Our children, they're hiskashis, is a different kind of hiskashis. I had a Shabbaton recently with a bunch of kids. And we talked about the Rebbe and hiskashis. And I told the kids, I mean, I'm younger than you, I'm a lot younger than you. So I didn't really have yechidus. I mean, as a 9-year-old, I went to yechidus. The last time I was in his room. My bar mitzvah was lamed ches. My younger brother, younger had yechidus. Tafshin mem, aber ich hab von bar mitzvah, ich hab yechidus nicht gehad. But my relationship with the Rebbe for cooking. It's hard, unless you experience this personally, it's hard to understand this. You watch a video, yeah? You watch a film of a Fabrengen, yeah? The Rebbe speaks Sichas, and between the Sichas, the Olam singt an Ding. And the man, you watch the Rebbe, he's looking around. Chaim Levracha, Chaim Levracha, Chaim Levracha. You watch, you know what I'm talking about? Chaim Levracha, Chaim Levracha, Chaim Levracha, Chaim Levracha. It looks like the most natural thing. Every lechaim levracha is the yachidus kipshutei. You have to just find the people whom the Rebbe is saying lechaim levracha, and they'll tell you the whole story. I pushed the cup. There was a yid for the gehesen Zilberstrom. It didn't get me some. Armorcha Zilberstrom. I went. I became some Rebbe business of. He didn't get to the Rebbe till Lamed Beis. He wanted to go to the Rebbe many times, but because he was involved in Chinuch, he couldn't leave. So he came here, Tishrei Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, the first time. First time! His story was, this about Mordechai Zilberstrom met the Rebbe in Tovshin Zayin. When the Rebbe went to pick up his mother, or the Rebbe Tam Genumen, he was not a Poshet Yid. He went to Adam Gadol. He went to Adam Gadol, Adam went from the Recheretz. And he was a soldat from the Rebbe, it was a Pele. In Yerushalayim, he made, after the war, he made a cheder, on Alam Glenva, side the Chassidim, side the Litvisha, and he closed that cheder to make the reshes. Because the Rebbe wanted the reshes all the Yitzhak Lubavitch.
The Rebbe wrote about him, Yereshamayim Betachlis.
Betachlis, right, the Chadakov. The Pnimi. He met the Rebbe in Tavshin Zayin. He was not the Lubavitch. He was too, he had good midas nebach. And you can't asach Lenin.
But
Huh? Yeah.
Take
it. On a shir, take it. On a shir, take it. You read it. Yeah, but in Poland, in Paris.
In Paris.
In Paris. The Tate, am verbringen, wegfahren, die halbe Stunde gerettet wegen Armorcha Zilberstrom und gesagt, dass ein Ingen ist genug. Anyway, his story was that during the war, he was with Reb Zalman Schneerson. Zalman Schneerson was the Adam Gadol. It's a different parasha, it's a different parasha. If you want to read Reb Zalman Schneerson without the Lubavitcher bias, read, his mishpacha gave out 2 krochim on his life. And about Amorcha Zilberstrom. I forgot what the Isha Kiruch, they can call it. It's a good read. It's worth it to buy. One sefer is Pasha than a Lamdas and a Chiddush HaTorah. But one sefer is a biography, and you have a. It's very. I mean, he was a. He was all his tate. His father was a personal friend of the Brisker Rav. Azedich Bitzol, the Briska of Avek in Yerushalayim, the Bravel of Briska, at the Makaponim Ben Mamshif, he wouldn't leave Yerushalayim. Even Zera, those, the Tata Zayin is, Ungekumen is named Gumen, Makaponim Zayin. Tata Ben Agrees the Mensch. Anyway, his story was that during the war, he was separated from his family, and he was with Reb Zalman Schneerson. Reb Zalman Schneerson, during the war, had a whole orphanage, 80 or 90 kids, orphans, you save them. And in the beginning, when there was a Vichy government, so they were able to stay in one place. When the Nazis took over the south of France, from place to place, and the stories are, you read this book, read Zilberstam's book about those stories, it's mamish plaim. One of the stories was that they saved wheat from matzah. They saved wheat from matzah. And they were running from place to place, so they had to leave the wheat. And Reb Zalman Schneerson sent him to go back and find the wheat and bring it. They should have matzah for Pesach. I don't know what year it was. Tashin Dal, Tashin Hei, but the end of the war. But he was sitting on a train with Nazis kipshute. He was carrying his wheat. That's not the year. Bottom line is, he carried the wheat on his shoulder. It was very, very heavy. And he hurt his shoulder chronically. He hurt his shoulder in such a way that ad yemei ha'acharon, his shoulder was damaged. He, you know, if you put enough stress on any organ, you break it with a tzibrach. And he had a terrible, terrible pain in his shoulder. When the Rebbe came to Paris, Dovshin Zion, he was enamored with the Rebbe. He was taken with the Rebbe. Beautiful stories, such sweet stories. And he said to the Rebbe, I want to talk to the Rebbe in private. He had one of the branches of Zalman Schneerson yeshiva he had outside of Paris. And he asked the Rebbe to come to Fabreng with the kids. And the Rebbe came, and he fed the children, and the Rebbe gave prasim of a particular section. Your father was already married, or still a bacher? And the Rebbe came to both.
To both. The Rebbe came also to girls, and the father was there.
Well, but there's no pictures. There's no pictures. He has a picture of the Rebbe, and he was so taken by the Rebbe. He said he wanted to speak to the Rebbe in Yonim Pnimim, his own personal Yonim. He was still a Bacher. You know his story. His story was that his family moved to Eretz Yisrael, and then his father died very shortly thereafter. But he had made a neder. He had made a neder. The French army wanted to draft him. And he made a neder that if the French army releases him from the neder, from the army, he'll do in chinuch. He was already in Eretz Yisrael. And Reb Zalman Schneerson wrote him a letter, I need you. And he was, and his mother was an almona with little kids. He was the oldest. And he, the neder, hatam ye'egbed, this neder was eating at him. So he went back to Paris to work with Reb Zalman Schneerson, and he met the Rebbe. So he said to the Rebbe, I want to speak to the Rebbe. The Rebbe was then called the Ramash. So the Rebbe said to him, okay, come to my hotel. The Rebbe stayed in the hotel this and this hour. He came to the hotel. The Rebbe wasn't there. So what he did was, he sat with his back to the door of the hotel because there was a big mirror. And when anybody would walk in, he would see them in the mirror. So that he would greet the Rebbe before the Rebbe would greet him. He has no idea how the Rebbe didn't appear in the mirror. He didn't see the Rebbe. Mitamo, a hand of a blade. The Rebbe put his hand on his shoulder, on the shoulder that was hurt. And the pain disappeared. And it never came back. He was suffering with this pain 3 years. He sued him. Chronic pain. The Rebbe didn't know. How's the Rebbe supposed to know that his shoulder hurts? Tzemach Tzedek. Where's the Maisi? A kid came to the Tzemach Tzedek. He was a mute. He couldn't speak. And his mother was an aguna. So they told her to take the little boy. They put him in Tzemach Tzedek's chedim, that tetel. Tzemach Tzedek came in. The little boy came out from under the table. And he went over to the Rebbe. They lined him tetel. Go tell your mother, it's time to speak in Yiddish. It's such a waste of time. Tell your mother your father's going to come. The boy had never...
You can find him in this town.
mir dachte gerade lass das gay sag mal hat kommen das ist ein detail gay mir gedenkt sich der gay sag der mama the kid never spoke in his life he was 12 years old he walks out of the rebbe he goes over to his mother and he says the rebbe gesagt der mama hat wird kommen der mama gehalst so the center of sabach tzedek the chamayf is kofel hat der rebbe gesagt keinet mir nicht gesagt hat Nobody told me that he didn't know. The Rebbe didn't know. And the Kenneth Schneider says the Rebbe walked into the hotel and he was sitting there looking at the mirror. And the Rebbe was not in the mirror. The Rebbe was not in the mirror. It was a balabos over his reflection. And the Rebbe took a place in the plate. He never suffered from that shoulder again. Anyway, see, he came the first time to the Rebbe, Tavshin Lamed Beis, on the Tishrei. And he wrote a Yuman, and it's printed in the Sefer. It's really worth, you know, it's a good Sefer to buy. I'm not, the Zilber Shams are not giving me a kickback. It's really worth buying. So he writes in the Sefer, he knew the Rebbe from many years before. And he was a man with his own mind. He wasn't, you know, a yes man. He didn't just go along. He was a Ben Adam, he was a Pnimi. And he watches the Rebbe Tishrei. And he writes in his diary, Yesh lo cheshbin im kol echad v'yechad. The Fabrengens. How the Rebbe looks around. You he ignores, you he acknowledges, you he ignores. He says, he watches the Rebbe. There's thousands of people in the room. And you could see that the Rebbe has a personal relationship. Yesh lo cheshbin im kol echad v'yechad. The Rebbe has a personal business with each person. How he answers l'chaim v'levracha. We know this. Every l'chaim v'levracha is a yechidus. When the Rebbe would look at you and look through you, it was a yechidus. Achav mo gehet the Rebbe gezok to Rav Zalman Hecht al Vashom. He got a bal yisurim. It was a big chassid. Rav Zalman Hecht was a big bal yisurim. It was a big chassid. A big bal yisurim. So I heard. The Rebbe asked Leibel Groner after a Fabreng, "Vos macht er? How's he doing?" So he told the Rebbe, "He's not doing so good." It's a pelle. You come with them, you pravet, you chides dreimal beim Fabrengen. I believe that this is true. In other words, if you find good emes, shene meises, and
by one Fabrengen,
you come with them, you pravet, you chides dreimal. You watch the Rebbe when singing the Gunim, he was looking around. I explained this to the girls. We had a Shabbaton, girls. And I explained this to them, so one of the girls starts to cry. I'm never gonna have that. That was a cooking day. It was really very uncomfortable. I was describing my neighbor, Lebanish. I never had yechidus. The Rebbe didn't talk to me. I mean, the Rebbe told me a few things, but there was, Achmein, what? So my connection to the Rebbe is the Eugen. And my whole generation is that way. The Rebbe looked at you, and the eyes was a whole conversation. If you were the Maimed the Matzav Toiv, I mean, I know this, Poshet, my own experience. If I was at a Maimed the Matzav Toiv, the Rebbe's eyes were happy. If I was a Matzav Loi Toiv, it was Poshet sad. It wasn't angry, it was sad. When the Rebbe looked at you, the way the Rebbe looked at you was a mirror. A daten vo mit gehalten ich mir a khosn mit gemen beseder I went to the official bracha and the Rebbe followed me with his eyes it followed me all the way out in other words the way the Rebbe looked at you was amitis advarim the Rebbe you couldn't fool and we knew it the Rebbe looked at you and he knew everything he didn't say anything and the good news about that he never embarrassed you nobody else but you and the Rebbe knew The conversation, it was a cook. It was so quick. It was a second. It was a half a second. And it was a whole conversation. So I shared this.
The Hebrew is strange. Chela Gimel from the Rebbe.
No.
He's writing about the previous Rebbe that everyone should know that we had a big Rebbe and we have a big Rebbe. And he's saying clearly this is the three big Rebbe. And he was always davening for everyone, and he was spoiled, and he's davening now, and he's spoiled, and he attracting yeder einem every yid b'shrat ala sachsidim. It should be known that he knows the weaknesses of everyone from his anashim venashim and erveis an afalpikein erveis zeire aveiras and afalpikein is continuing to pray for them and he knows their matzev, why they cannot, why they're making the aveiras, and he knows the nisyanos. Afal pi kein, he is continuing to daven for them. Tloim, mamish. And he said, the father, Rabbi is doing that, so we have to have a chavata shulchan, was staff tzadayim, doesn't want to design our mochas. Zache, Asias.
So I had this fabrengen with these kids. And I shared this with them. That my Rebbe was the Eugen. The Rebbe's look at us. And I mean, du bist nicht das einfach junger von mir. Du bist gerade, So I'm 55, Sachak. So you also had that. Ich meine, du bist von der Tisrol. Ich habe gesagt, mein Juchas, mein Juchidissen. Bottom line is, the Rebbe always talked to us with his eyes. It was a whole conversation. A halberege. When yada eina, Zilberstam type, yeshle cheshbim, kol echad echad, every Lubavitcher knows that, b'muchesh, not necessarily from Yechidus, poshet de doigen. Anyway, so I shared this with the girls, and one of the girls starts to cry, and she gets very upset. I'm not going to have this. Whatever, doesn't matter. But so one of the mashpiyim, one of the women said to me, why don't you tell her that the kinder, our children, are more mekusha to the Rebbe than we are. It's true. I mean, you look at the next generation. Our children, who physically never saw the Rebbe. They never saw the Rebbe. And the metziyas is. Huh?
With videos.
But they being in the Rebbe's Dalai Lama's. Yeah. And they going into the Rebbe. I mean, so much of our Yiddishkeit is our busha. So much of our Yiddishkeit. Mitzach poshet geshemt. So one of the teachers said to me, why don't you tell the girls? And the Matthias says, I know, I teach the kids. The good ones are so much better than we ever were. And the not good ones is a mental flagzogen. The efsher kulem nikis. You know, the way is the word. The Rebbe went to the Rebbe Mashpiyin Kfar Chabad. Had Rebbe at the gewalt. Had Rebbe gesagt, dass der Bochum seinen sehr teil. Sein sehr begeben. Sie willen Perl seiner Nachas Ruach. Was mir heißt, ich kann folgen sie. And Rebbe was mafli the Bochum. And then at the end, geht der Rebbe so, Ruba. Und geht der Tracht und Efsche Kulem. So, der Mendel ist doch gewesen, der beste Verbrecher. So, but in a for the Mendel's fabregation, the Efsher Kulem Nikis, which says the Efsher, I get it, the Efsher Kulem Nikis, Rubam. So he used to fabreg, ich denke es, the Efsher Kulem Nikis, I get it, the Efsher Kulem Nikis. Aber sie, die Kinder, gesandt im Reben. So this woman says to me, why don't you tell the girls that they're more Mekush than we are? So I said to her, because part of their Hiskashers is this pain. A girl starts to cry. I'm never going to be able to look into Rebbe's eyes. And I'm never going to have that sense of his kashrus. Because the his kashrus comes from the Tzom Alecha Nafshi, Halavai Bakedish Chazisicha. Our children, the children that are the way that Rebbe wants them to be are nicer than we ever were. Unfortunately, there's one or two that are the gedder of Efsher Kulam. Efsher Kulam. Rubam Kekulam said the Ahuvim and Brudim and Kadeshim and Alamilis. But the Vart, I mean, I want to get back to the point. The point is that there's an Indian at the Boyal Pare. But the Boyal Pare means that Rebbe Gate Medyad Nechosid. There's a story. I told it today in Shul. I was in a different city today. So I told the story in my speech. That Chonim Arazov was a big chassid, was a very, very big chassid. But like many of the chassidim, they didn't know what to do with the girls. The girls didn't have, there was no temch tmimais, there was no such musik. In Poland, the Rebbe made a chois ha-tmimim. But in Russia, So his daughters were not beseder, the Chanya's daughters. It doesn't matter, the Pratim were not Negev. They were Mayrech Yomim. Chanya's daughters lived till over 100. There were two of them. Reb Mendel, Marazah, Valo Shalom, also lived till 100 and something. Yes. Mayasha is Nisht Marazah, Mayasha is Raskin.
Wow.
No?
Yeah.
She wasn't married to Raskin?
Who are you talking about?
Mayasha?
Mayasha was
Shagala.
But she was married to who?
She was married to Shagala.
No, you mix it with someone else.
Okay.
Simi Itkin was the daughter of. He had four daughters. There was Mina, there was Sarah, who's my aunt, she lives in Israel. Lachel, Pinson, who lives in France now. And Simi Itkin, who's the second.
Don't argue with Benny.
No, I'm not arguing.
Benny,
she came to my class and she said to me, "Mine tata is okay." Maybe I don't remember correctly. She came to my class, Shula. Mine tata is Yitzchak. Okay, I'm sure you know better. It's really not that important.
She was a shnur of the Baba
Sarah.
Mumas Sarah's last name was
Sarah.
Her maiden name was Raskin.
Sarah was
her married name was Sarah's
sister was Yitzchak.
Her son was
I have to tell you, I am utterly confused and I don't mind being confused. If we're awake, it's an Ahech against the
Levi
Yitzchak. She came to my class, she told my tata Yehazen Yitzchak Raskin. Okay. You know better, I promise you, I assure you.
Then you went to Beis Rivke.
Anyway, I forgot even why I brought this up.
Because
so Chanya's daughters, Chanya kicked him out of the house. He threw him out of the house. And the Friedige Rebbe that they pushed the Rachmanos got. Anyway, when they were... Because they were not true. They lived in Eretz Yisrael. So one of the daughters was like 97 years old and she needs to go through an operation, heart surgery, an old, old woman. She was afraid. He describes how the Friedrich was makar of them. The Tata Zeymanachagaven and the Rebbe Ratzay Makaravan. The Friedrich Rebbe came to her in a dream and said to her, Rochalea Hobnish Kemeda. The Friedrich Rebbe came to a dream, not 70 years ago, in the last 25 years. Don't be afraid, I'll go through the surgery with you. I want to make a point, and I keep missing the point. The point is that there is an inyan from Boyal Pari, Rebbe Health. And the Tevab Neyadam, human nature is that when you are under stress, when you have challenges, you lose your head. And the first thing you lose when you lose your head is the Eibishter. The first thing, and you start to think Cheshboinus of Teva, and you start to think Cheshboinus of Marashcheira, all the negative Cheshboinus. We are the Baba Chachsidim. We're Makushat Vilana Dachaya. When we have a Maimed Matzah, which is difficult, we have to remember Boyal Pari. But Madav Shrai and Rebbe Health, you have to just say Rebbe Health. Try it. See what happens. See what the worst case scenario won't work. But it works. But you have to keep your head. You have to keep your head. When the Eibishter gives in the Soyin and the Teva Adedas, it's a funny thing. You start to doubt and the Marashcheira creeps in and all of a sudden you become so meshubit to Derech HaTeva, so meshubit to the Havoyit HaNochas HaOilam. When we go through hardships, that's what happens to us. We lose our chush in emunah, we lose our chush in betochen, and we have to know that there's something called boyal pare, abe medav shrayin rebbe health. This is my whole speech. That's what I want to say. This is exactly what I want to say.
I was in Williamsburg. By a Sheva Brochus from a Chaver, Asat Merchosit. So,
about... You lost a Chaver, Asat Merchosit?
Yeah, we learned the other book, Tanya. Anyway, Herst, so it was a Batchen for the Sheva Brochus. I was sitting next to a Breslover. So he said, I see a Lubavitcher and a Breslover. I'm going to say two stories. One a Breslover story, one a Lubavitcher story. So I reminded to myself the stories because you spoke about Yush. He says to the Breslover, I'm only giving him a neighbor, a Breslover Chosit. That was on the roof, almost jumping.
Nachman
is done. A chaver of him is telling him, "Hey Nachman, what's going on? Why are you jumping?" He says, "He doesn't have parnose. He doesn't have gesunten. He doesn't have anything." She says, "Don't forget what the Rebbe said. Ein Yush ba'olam klal." He says, "Das wird man echt nicht." He jumped. So he's talking Yush. I'm jumping. Kilo. I'm going to nicht. Später hat er gesagt, nach Lubavitcher Meise, why don't Lubavitcher Chassidim sleep in the Sukkah? Der Meise, Alpi Gdigle, Alpi Chassides, Lem Fakt, practically speaking. He says, stell sich vor, just think about what would happen if the Rebbe would make a Mifza Sheinu in the Sukkah. You would have huge Sukkahs in Manhattan. Did you sleep already in the Sukkah today? Mit der solche Sheinu Betten, Boch Hashem, they don't sleep in the Sukkah. Aber das sind noch auf Milz, die Bduchat, da weiter verbringen.
She was a very unusual woman.
Arumot Chesenikles. Arumot Chesenikles. Arumot Chesenikles. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to
tell
you. Where is it? Now Israel, tell Shavua Tov to the Meshpia.
I have to give you a second. Mer Ganesh, business. No.
He's standing by his neighbor. And he starts Sveitsa Habislav. So,
by his Schwieger.
By his Schwieger. A younger man comes over to him. This is Yves Tahisa himself that tells the story. A younger man, he's, what's the face? You've been on out to Yidna. You've been on 50 years out. He turns to him and he says, what's the man? Ich wein for you. Ich wein for sich. Mit mir bald auf der Reise.
In the middle, yeah.
Well, he lived himself like this young man. Right.
Stavia pituk yatnitsu yatnitsu opavya ya papus vayoshevitsu treba znati yaklati Treba znati jak rechani Ohoj cheshmoin cedek odovati Fretfanom chazainom otvajati
For
me, drinken ja jena sei wie Mai. Und mir sagen alle zusammen mit Hai. Wer tot ich mag, mina schon Mai. Stab ja bitte. Oh, Subotu. Oh,
Yankov Yasis, from West Meridian. Dovidaski's father.
chazai no mot vachati ami piem da piem da mi
I heard the Dagavase of Lindy.
Und mir trinken ja in a sei wie mai. Und mir sagen na mer da mer khai. Ja tot ich ma mi na shomai.
I heard from Yossi Kazin. I heard from Yossi Kazin.
Yeah.
That the Rebbe said to her, to Mariasha.
Yeah.
Ich will nehmen auf sich eine halbe Welt und du wirst nehmen auf dich eine halbe Welt.
She's a remarkable woman.
Der Rebbe, said that to her?
Yeah.
Ich will nehmen auf sich eine halbe Welt and the fact that I have to schluck on the world are in the clock. Ich will nehmen auf sich eine halbe Welt und du wirst nehmen auf dich.
Yeah.
Mad.
Wow.
So I didn't believe him. Bubba. So I asked a bunch of people.
Yeah.
I put him samus.
So now from all the children there's just two daughters who survived.
Was ich gesehen habe schon die Rosa.
My Rosa is one daughter. And another daughter Rachel Levin from London.
Ah.
Very Levin's one. She lives here in New York.
Really? Why? Your children are here?
No, she was married children. She was married to Mother Libra for
right,
years.
Right, right.
And then when he got sick, you know, she left. She was living for a while in by San Mendel in L.A. But then...
Mendel in L.A.?
She has three sons. The youngest of the three is a fellow boss. He's in L.A. Close friend of mine.
Feitel from the...
Feitel is the middle of the three sons. Feitel lives in Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
And Yasef is the oldest son. He's in Palo Alto.
Yasef, right. Yeah, I meant Yasef, yeah. Okay. Nun, was soll man sagen, Carmen?
Aus der Montrevitz von David Gronler, wenn ich mich in Australien von Chazin von meinem Schwager, ist um 18 Jahre zurück, nein, weniger. Hat Iris ago.
Was sagst du
mir? Du als Cheshmo von ganz Lubavitch. Du als Cheshmo von ganz Lubavitch.
Anyway. Du kannst dir auf.
No, aber ihr wollt schon gewinnen auf ein Wheelchair, aber gekommen in die Schule.
Gekommen
in die Schule. Freitag zur Nacht, ob ich gedacht mit Kabbalah Shabbos. Und dann, ich bin gegangen, noch um. Mit Klein, Jossi Klein. Anyway, ob ich gegangen zum Rom, sagen, gut Schabes. Sagt mir, ui, Azai, Jerusalem, Kabbalah Schabes, ob ich schon Jahren nicht gehört. Wer bist du? Ich hab gesagt, Weinfeld, von Jerusalem, von Disforim. Lass mir das erzählen, let me tell you a story that probably your father doesn't even know this part of the story. So, when he used to come to New York...
Who, your father? Or
no,
Rabbi Tzchok David. From Australia, one of the first things that he used to do, go into the maskiras to kush and zach mit Reb Leibel, sein Bruder, so say shalom aleichem to his brother, the Rebbe's maskir. So once, he came to the maskiras, say shalom aleichem, but Leibel was busy, Leibel didn't talk to him, he said, I have to make a phone call. Then later on, after the phone call, he said, shalom aleichem, you know, if it's private, don't tell me, but azei busy, Mr. Given, what's he given? So there is a Eid in Yerushalayim, Reb Shmuel Weinfeld, my father, soll gesund sein. And he's asking the Rebbe everything about Sforim, about personal things. And the Rebbe is always answering him. Anyway, he asked the Rebbe about one of the books, what the Rebbe used to be Magia, not all the books, but some of the books the Rebbe used to be Magia, for example, Hakdome. And my father used to get back the original with the Rebbe's corrections. Lishloach ha-original, or Metzurav was the original.
Which was unusual. The Rebbe said, how did I do with this?
I even remember one correction of the Rebbe. My father wrote a sefer, one of the 20 books that my father wrote, beside the Shaila Moira and Chumish and Sider and Tehilim, many other books. My father wrote a book, Simonio Amorim. You saw the sefer, right? And Tanya. How to remember Tanya.
based on the Tzemach Tzedek's Kitzurim, but he wanted to have, let's say, Likutei Amorim, we have Gan Prokim, 53 Prokim, should be 53
words.
And every word reminds you a Toichen Kotzor, and this Toichen Kotzor, the whole Perek. So the Rebbe gave him all answer, B'Ksav Yad.
So doesn't believe my name?
Yeah, in the Sefer.
Oh,
in the Sefer, for example, Bacharuzim bechoy lo yifen eno yikidai. Don't do it with rhymes. He wanted to do it with rhymes because when it's rhymes, you remember the old Tanya, like the Torah of the Tanya. Bechoy lo yifen eno yikidai ki yosif koshi ba'amone. Because this will make harder to understand the perek. You want to have a word of the perek.
Yosif
koshi ba'amone. Because if you're going to stick to rhymes, you're going to choose a word from the perek that's more connected to the rhymes than to the Torah. Anyway, I remember even one correction, the Rebbe made a few corrections. One correction that the Rebbe made about the Akdome, my father wrote that the simonim, the Shomers, Chelek, Esther, Mevushi, Mozoim, every perik ha-simen, so the every, and their simen is Iker Toichen ha-perik. It's the Iker Toichen ha-perik. You can't write, this is the Toichen Kol ha-perik. The Rebbe erased the Iker, and the Rebbe wrote, Vezehu Toichen Kol ha-perik. The Rebbe helped him. So then, Rabbi Tzchak David said that Leibel told them, so Weifelot gefragt Hashayle, but was bringing this for him, not has for sure to make a operation or to close Hashidach, Boch Hashem, Epes bringing this for him. So I didn't rush to call him. Today when I went in again, because this was yesterday, today when I went in again to the Rebbe, so the Rebbe gefragt, if I gave over already the answer to a Weifelot from Yerushalayim, he said, not yet, the Rebbe said, and that we're gleich zog. Him, you have always to say, right away, because vos bezoktem, vi mizoktem, azay tutem. What we tell him, how we tell him, is...
He listens.
He listens. It's a compliment.
It's a big compliment.
Yes. And I always say, it's huge vat, I can't miss this story. That I said that Rabbi Paltiel heard it already at least once. What's a story that I can live another 150 years, even if I'm not going to have any more stories with the Rebbe. This story will follow me a few hundred years. When I was... I was married to Tovshi Memtes. And then we went to Shliches. First I asked the Rebbe if I should continue. I couldn't see it as a bochel learning so much. So I was like, huh?
You have to clarify your first marriage.
I don't know about the first marriage. Good as I. Over here, the story. Anyway, the Rebbe... I asked the Rebbe if I should go to Shliches, or she amshich belimudai ve'akoyel. I was reading about a Mendel Werther's Koyel in Nachle. So the Rebbe underlined, amshich belimudai ve'akoyel, ask her alatzion. So I continue another month. And I asked the Rebbe about a place, Kadima. Now Katz is a Shliach. The Rebbe didn't answer anything. No, yes, no, now, no, ask her alatzion, nothing. So I continued. But then Tzach, Nochum Koyel of Asholem, was in charge to place Shluchim in Shtetlach after the Rebbe's agreements, the Rebbe's book, Nochem Koyen. Chaskil, Shoshalem, and the Alibri.
Many years.
Yeah. He was Tzach Achoy, if you want to go to Shliches, I can give you a shtetl, but then you have to ask the Rebbe. This was Tovshi Memtes. Then he says, I think for you would be very, very good a shtetl, not far away from your in-laws, Arad, so a shtetl like Meitar. It's a very, very special place in Eretz Yisrael, next to Be'er Sheva. Anyway, I wrote to the Rebbe a letter, Tovshin Memtes, Yudalev Sivin. I have the original because I sent it by fax. So the original stays by you. Those days, if you wrote to the Rebbe, the answer would come or to Lezer Lichtenstein or to Chaim Sholes Edel in Afula. Only if it's private or it's an urgent thing to make an operation or not, to close a Shidach, you want to know, you're not going to send to Chaim Sholem Segal for you about a Shidach that he doesn't even know about. That's what's going on. So, just a regular answer, they will send it by Chaim Sholem Segal and Afula or Lezer Lichtenstein. A list of names and answers and telephone numbers. And they would do, because the master would never have so many hours just to call everyone. Anyway, I wrote Yudalef Sivin Tovshin Memtes from Lipa Kurzweil's home. He was the only one to have a fax in Nachle. Today, no one has anymore. But I sent a fax. And I have the original, I look in the letter sometime to get chizuk. Last two lines, I wrote how many families there, 620 families there today, they have a few thousand families, Baruch Hashem. I wrote who is the mayor. The mayor was not an elected mayor. He was someone that Misrad Apnim a government office appointed him as a professional to have the city being built. This was a few years at the beginning. So he was a brother-in-law of Reuven Dunin, Avram Zygmunt, Shimon Sonnenfeld. He married to a Sonnenfeld. Anyway, Kipas Ruga. Kipas Ruga. In Yerushalayim, we used to call Kipas Ruga Elokim Im Chorim. Ah?
Shimon Sonnenfeld, Benachle.
Again. Anyway, but he was a mother, not a dog's guy, a very nice guy. Anyway, I wrote to the Rebbe the last two lines. Alkein hinen ilisho leskvod vishas adlo shlite. Haim ha-Rebbe maskim sheni yesh shluchim shelo b'meitav. So I'm asking the Rebbe if the Rebbe agreed we should be shluchim b'meitav. Now, in those days, the Rebbe would not answer long answers for shluchim in general. The Rebbe would say, asker al atziyun, or askom b'vroche asker al atziyun, b'roche v'atzloche asker al atziyun. I don't even know exactly the words, but in general. The Rebbe, so I, the Rebbe wrote like this. The Rebbe erased the Haim, and the Rebbe circled. הרבי מסכים שני יש שלוחים שלו במיתר, and add in כסב יד, I don't have the כסב יד, but I have what the masker is. אז קומו וברוכו, אז קרא לציון. This is a very strong answer for Memtes. And we went to Shliches. If I can speak a month, only about every month that I was in Shliches, I can speak a month. But the Rebbe still helped, and the first baby, my Moishi, the Bechor, who lives in Toronto now, he was already well, the first month, but was a medical problem. And they was even thinking to put her bed rest, the mother, in the hospital. What is a chosid, and especially a shliach, doing? I called the maskires to ask for a broche. Until today, I don't remember if I got a asker al atziyun or not. Might be that I didn't even get back a asker al atziyun. But after a few days, things got better. She didn't went to the hospital. She was resting at home. After a week or a little more, everything was mamish perfect, and the pregnancy was going very well and smooth, Baruch Hashem. I started to do peules, a Shir Tanya once a week for ladies in a home, every week another family, and a Shir Tanya once a week for men, also traveling from a home to a home. Then Chodesh Elul, by the summer I did a Mifza Shalom, Chodesh Elul blew in the shofar for all the kindergarten children, Talmidim, with the permission of the city. You couldn't go just and visit the kindergartens. Sukkot, I did the Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah, I did a minyan, Yom Kippur. I'm going fast. Chanukah, first menorah ever that I did. A huge menorah. Every day another guest lighting the menorah, the mayor and a rabbi and a dos and a yens. The city was, by the beginning, they didn't even have a tractor with that you can attach like Can Edison has, like a porch that lift, elevate you up, and you can stand normally. So they elevate us with a shovel every night for the Hanukkah menorah. So we went up with the shovel, with a tractor.
With
the
shovel.
With the shovel, yeah? How do you say?
Shovel.
It was very funny. I have pictures. I didn't have pictures for many years. 2 years ago or something, the library of the Rebbe published pictures that people sent to the Rebbe, and this is where I found my pictures.
Who sent them?
Hi.
Well, you didn't keep a copy.
No, with the traveling coming here, I didn't find them. Anyway, maybe I have it, but I don't find it. Anyway, so I found it, but the Rebbe said that. Anyway, so is Chanukah. We was sleeping by my in-laws every night because this was like a month and so before we had a baby, and she was schwach. So I did the peules during the day in Meitar, and then in the evening was traveling like a half an hour, sometimes 25 minutes, no traffic, to Arad to stay overnight, and then in the morning again to the Shliches. So is Chanukah. After Afabrengen, I said to myself, it's not fair. By the way, this story was a story that led Rabbi Leibel Groner's Afabrengen in Kenes HaShluchim, Tovshin Samach Gimel, I think, the last Kenes HaShluchim that I attend in Eretz Yisrael, in Tveria, before I came here. He saw me sitting not far away from him. Aaron was sitting next to him, and I was seeing a little bit, let's say, two or three people close to Rabbi Groner. So he saw me, so he said, let me tell you a story about this shliach. And he said over this story, and Farbring the whole night, the inspiring from this story that happened to me. Anyway, I wrote to the Rebbe, it's not fair. I'm doing the Rebbe's Shliches, Sivan Tammuz of Elul Tishrei Cheshven, Kislev, the beginning of Teves, 7.5 months. And I never wrote to the Rebbe any doch. let's write. And I'm writing a loch, a few pages. I send it by fax. I feel very good. And I'm driving to Arad, I'm coming there around 10, maybe a little later, eating supper in the kitchen. I remember exactly the place. And the telephone rings, making a long story short. My shver, Rabbi Sholem Segiven, picks up the phone, Rabbi Groner is on the line. Anyway, he's asking for me. I'm taking the telephone, says, did you write to the Rebbe? I answered it, a letter. Says, yes. And I didn't ask anything. So even if there is an answer about Niskabel, which was Shein, or whatever the Rebbe would write, but usually I would get through Reb Chaim Sholem Segal in Afula, or Leizer Lichtenstein in Yerushalayim. He calls, but you're not stupid to say, Reb Leibel, why do you call? You can't send it by Chaim Sholem Segal. You need to be sugar to do it. You are so exciting that he's calling you. That's to speak to Reb Groner or to Vilyomi Klein. Those days was a schus. Like, the Rebbe's master is calling you and he's giving you over an answer of the Rebbe. So he says, take a paper, a pen, and write down what the Rebbe answered. And he gives you an answer. I'm saying almost exactly. Niskabel, the true Eschein, the Asker Alatziun, Shetehei Pe'ulo Nimsheches, and another few words, I don't remember now, Uleyemei Chanukah Meirim Usmechim. And should be a continuation of the Upeules, and the Yemei Chanukah should continue lighting and making happy weiter. The Rebbe gives a very nice broche, and he thanks me for the... And I'm quiet. I'm waiting to hear what else. But he says, no, this is the answer. But then he's asking me, Reb Kalman, was tutzach mit dein Rebbetzin? What's going on with your Rebbetzin? Means, what's going on with your wife? So he says, Baruch Hashem. And then he tells me, she's not suffering from, and he mentioned something that I wrote 7.5 months before, that she was suffering a specific thing.
A medical thing.
And Rebel Groner is asking me, she's not suffering from this and this, from not a sickness, but a specific thing that was worried about. Right away, I grab that something is going on. So I says, no, from when I wrote to the Rebbe, a few days later, everything was fine. He said like that. Chazog no Fiddish, Speter, a translation. And again, not exact, because Label told me, so maybe he didn't say that exact like the Rebbe said, but he was hazarding to me, but the Rebbe told him. The Rebbe said like that. Ich hab sach schon eingewähnt, als mich schreibt mir, was ist da ein Problem, und später, wenn sie verbessert sich, schreibt mir nicht. Sie mir aber schwer zu sich eingewähnen, als mich schreibt, da viele Chodoshim lang später, und mit dem Mond gar nicht wegen dem Problem. Frag sag noch. I got used to already that people are writing to me when they have a problem, and later on they don't report about that it's better. But I can't get used to ever, it's very difficult for me to get used to, that they are writing even a few months later, and they don't mention anything. For this, I can't get used to. Find out what's going on. So he says, I called your house, no one answered. But I knew the Rebbe can be the man, what's going on. So I wanted to prepare myself. So I said, Weinfeld, maybe his father knows. Weinfeld, so he called my father in Yerushalayim. I didn't tell my father every night where I'm sleeping after the chasine. I didn't tell him, today I'm by my shver. Today I'm here. Honest. So he didn't know. He says, maybe he's Mifzoy, maybe by a Fabrengen, I don't know. That's it. So he went into the Rebbe, maybe, I don't know exactly what, but maybe an hour later, more or less. Mm-hmm. He walked in, first thing that the Rebbe asked him, mit Weinfeld hast du schon geredet? Did you speak already mit Weinfeld? Ich war zu, he said, I called him, I called even his father. So the Rebbe said, so try by his shver, ich war zu her. And if I bring the all night, as a shliach, the vision, and the Rebbe, I get a zevi atate. And for me, now you can understand how I can live noch 500 years with this story. This was Tov Shinun, Dois Chaneke Tov Shinun.
Was it the Rebbe complained a lot of them. But by my brokers, on Shpeter Zot, when he's Shivon, it's Midian. Torres, there
were Torres Chassidim.
No Torres, no Torres Shaitman. Good as Zahan.
I forget from Ayidin. Der erste Jahr Mamisch hat er geschrieben in meinem Brief von einem, der geheißen mit Nachem Mendel Ben Chana. Sie hat er geheißen.
Aber er ist doch Bruck, ist er... No.
Sag Nachem Mendel Ben Chana. Hat er geschrieben im Reben. Und der Reben gibt mir Brache. Und vergessen wir ihn. Jänner geworden gesund. 2 Jahre später steht er in Form, sie haben sich schon in Jürgimmel. Der Reben geht er auf die Treppe, gesagt, er kehrt zu ihm. Was macht man nach Mendel Ben Chana? fragt er sich, was fragt mir der Rebbe, was macht der Rebbe? Er vergessen die ganze Meise. He forgot that he wrote to the Rebbe, but I mean, the Rebbe remembers, was macht der Rebbe? He's one, was fragt der Rebbe wegen dem Rebbe? Bis er sich gehabt.
Ma 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 ay 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 Voice say, come closer.
Your father's name was Shlomo Ben Raske. So he's the nice with Reb Levick, with the Tisha B'Av, with the Kabbalah. The nice with Reb Levick, with the Tisha B'Av, with the Kabbalah. It's your father. No, they got it wrong.
It's actually my uncle Mendel.
Mendel.
He also lived in London. Whoever wrote the story.
So he also lived in London.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Mendel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Specific direction, as I understand. What is Bosi Legani for these 2 years?
You were here before. I said the Fetish.
In the beginning.
I don't know.
So direct him to your website.
The hero is that you have to visit inside Hasidus that already. The Rebbe speaks in the Maimer. That something called Mechamas Nitzachim. Mechamas. The Tzachim means the Ratzon of the Melech has to be actualized. And the Rebbe says the Hira is that every Prat has to be Shove. A the Reise, the Rabbono, the Minig. When you serve the Eibish, the Madei Gavrox, it's a very... The Emes is it's olive base. It's olive base. But it's not easy olive base.
Which city are you from?
From Brooklyn, Crown Heights.
Original. Okay. We saw recently,
no?
By Reber Levi's Rebbe, it's never since I worked, so I found many, many new things. One, he taped the Yechides with the Rebbe. Reber. So I saw a...
transcript.
Yeah. That every question, every answer. So he tells the Rebbe, in Moscow, there is a movement of Bali Chuvah, this was by the Lametz. And they, someone said in the name of the Rebbe, someone was bringing a message to the Moscow Bali Chuvah in the name of the Rebbe, they used to have lange peis.
The Rebbe had lange peis.
No, they used to have lange peis, the Bali Chuvah in Moscow, a few of them or a bunch of them. Said, it's not Milik Lubavitch. So they should cut the pace to short pace. Now, I know for a fact, Sruli Hecht, Peretz Sezun, when he went into Yechides by other Opshrinish, and he had a little line of pace, the Rebbe said, it's not our minute. It's not our minute. But it's a boy in Kron Heights. But Tshuva in Moskva. And the Rebbe, so he's asking the Rebbe, is this true that the Rebbe sent this message? Berlin is asking the Rebbe. So the Rebbe said, I never said it. Un mer mavil. How do you say mer mavil in English?
More upsetting.
More upsetting. I was never asked. If I would ask, I would say that everyone should do whatever he feels. Then another thing, the Rebbe, he asked the Rebbe Ashayle about someone in Moscow that became a Baal Tshuva, but he is a Kohen and he lives with a Gyoris. He doesn't know what to do.
A Gyoris or a Grusha?
A Gyoris. And the Rebbe said, Dos, Dos, Tufelgna, Rav Feinstein. This we should ask our
question. So yeah.
I was with him this past Sunday, and the Rebbe interrupted him and said, what did he say? Er darf mepalpel sein? He needs to mepalpel sein? He said, no, he was schwach and he couldn't talk about it. So I said, go again, he should answer you about it. And then another few things, very, very nice things.
There's Harav Feinstein, he didn't say the Mesh, Harav
Feinstein.
That was a philosopher.
Yeah. And... Reb Zalman Schneur zu mechten, aber gesehen, aber rief, so, er gewinnt ein Choshe verriet, right?
Sehr ein Choshe verriet. Ich bin ein Adam Gordon.
Ja?
Ich weiß nicht, Bad Lips hat mir gesagt, ich kann es nicht verstehen. Ich kann besser nicht reden.
Okay.
Als er ist weg, ist die Rebbe gegangen, bis in Beis Achaim.
Da?
Ja. Bis in Beis Achaim. Reb Zalman Schneur ist, das ist von der Halamis Vestedim. Ich kann es nicht verstehen. Er hat getan sehr viel. Er gewinnt er sah. Er gewinnt ein anderer Mann, auch nicht mehr Ducke. Und so gefühlt wie ein größer Gewehr. Schau dir mal, ich sage. Ich habe gehört von Mendy Chanen. Er hat von seinen Taten. Salman Chalt das gesehen mit seinen Augen. Als sie gewinnt Leil Bedikas Chomitz in Paris. Und sie haben gelebt in demselben Dieren. Der Salman Schneerzen gelebt oben und der Chan ist gelebt unten. Kommt da ab, Rebbe zum Schneerzen, wo sie ruft, Geikel. Der Chan ist Salmans Vater, Geikel. Geht er auf? Salman, ihr wollt sehen, wegen was handelt sich, hat er sich behalten, also hinter der Tür, in der Herd. Und der Geikel geht rein in die Dienst. Und Mrs. Chan, Mrs. Schneerzen, Rebbe zum Schneerzen, sagt der Geikel, also mit Daffen haben, Arov, Fahrrad den Tede. So hat Heikel, ich bin nicht Karov, wir nennen ihn nicht von dem den Tede, darf mir dir. Was er gewinnt den Tede? Herr am Meise. Am Samen Schneesen hat getan, als er geraten wird, als sehr viele Jiden, man kann sich nicht vorstellen. Was er gewinnt den Meise? Er hat getan, er hätte mehr Rabonim. Die waren ein Jid.
Verämmelsen.
Und er geharbelt sehr, er hat 100 Rabonim, so ein Kasmanin. Und jeder hat ihm gegeben von der Luft $2,000-$3,000. Jemand, wenn er haben wollen. Und der Absalmenstäßig hat sich das Geld. Sie gingen in den Schuld, sie gingen in den Markt. Er hat angetroffen an jeden, was er erst angekommen in Paris, mit der Sachkinderlach. Und er sagt der Absalmen, ich habe gar nicht. Geht bei Pesach, ich habe nicht, gar nicht. Hat er genommen die $3,000, hat er mir gegeben die ganze. Was ein Stub ist gar nicht gewesen. Kommt vor Pesach, sagt zu ihm, du hast doch Geld von hätte mehr Rabon. Ich habe weggegeben, die ganze. Sagt sie, die ganze, was genommen, die Hälfte, was voll gewesen. Ah, Drittel. Ich war so upset. Hat ihm gerufen zu den Teilen, zu Heikeln. Als Heikel soll passen, was ist das? Bei sehen ist du begonnen, ich habe weggegeben, die ganze Geld der Zweiten. Und er fühlt nicht gekannt, jene, ich bin ein Fremder, er hat nicht gekannt. Sagt Heikel, also Herr. Ob ihr, wenn ich mir teilen, schon beschoben mit der Mitzwe, wenn ich ergeben, der Zeus der Pesach. Das ist gewinn der Psaak, Dien.
Heikel so.
Ja, das ist gewinn, Salme Fers.
Das ist ein Brief, der schickt Berlivi auf sein, Daniels Bar Mitzwe, Topschen Hof. Was ist das, was ich noch mit der Stationary, der Rav Gamm, Schnee, Osef.
Aber da, Berlivi hat mir gesagt, die Welt hält das. Er hat gehalten, was starben, hat er gesagt, ich komme zu wegen der Welt, bis der Rebbe mit mir kommt. Und er hat gewartet.
Sicher.
Der wird mehr sein. It's hard to understand. Was ist das? Was ist das? Was ist das? Wir werden im Dorf reden. Was ist das? Was ist das? Was ist das? Der Rebbe ist gegangen, bei Salmen. Ich will mit sein. Ich denke, wenn er weg ist. Ich bin ein sehr größer Mensch. Ich bin ein Tomer, ich bin ein Lubavitch. Und er gewinnt, der war schon immer. Und er gewinnt, der bleibt nichts dort. Er gewinnt, dort in der Ente.
Ich bin ein Cousin von der Bühne.
Ja, sicher. Der war schon immer. Er hat aufgetan sehr viel. Man kann sich nicht vorstellen, wie viele Jiden seine Jiden noch, er schreibt, Silberstamm schreibt. Nach dem Mohammed hat ihn gerufen und hat sich weggesetzt. Und hat angeschrieben einen Brief zu jeder Stadt in Paris, in Frankreich, zu dem Mayor. Und hat es gemacht, also euch sein offiziell, aber darf anschreiben bei Xaviad, am besucht jüdische Jesemen. Man gefunden mehr als 500 jüdische Kinder. Und die Arbeit Tag und Nacht, mit Silberstamm, erst wenn er drehte, und mit angeschriebenen Briefen, und sie haben alle geämpft. Du hast das Sorgen, wie viele Menschen, das ist? Die funden jüdische Kinder, was haben gelebt zwischen Christen?
Sie kennen das Hunderttausende Menschen.
Hunderttausende Menschen. Das ist gewann der Mensch. Und er kam und so geht arbeiten. Er geraten wird 100 Jahre im Chama allein. Er gewann auch. Schaumberg, wenn sein Sohn.
Schaumberg ist mein Gestalte.
Ja, Schaumberg, wenn sein Sohn. Okay. Da sitzen die chassidische Jiden. Ich habe no more koich. I'm just used up.
You're fine.
Okay. So maybe she should help that there should be a... Neshama and Atelis. You know what that means?
Like we say about the...
Neshama and Atelis. You know what that means? When you visit the oil, the neshama is touch. But the touch on the madrege, that's called Atzilis. In Chassidus, that's the madrege of Chaya. Not nefesh, not ruach, not neshama, it's Chaya. Because nefesh is in the goof. So to connect nefesh and nefesh, you need to meet a goof with a goof. To connect the ruach with ruach, you need to connect a goof with a goof. To connect neshama with neshama, You need to connect through the guf. But chai is outside of the guf. So do you meet, two neshamas meet. It's like in chemistry, if you have an atom and you put it next to a second atom, so if the atoms don't repel each other, they bond. So what happens? There's an electron spinning around this atom, there's an electron spinning around this atom, and then they spin around both. That's what happens when you go to the Tzion. The two neshamas become one. And then it's makif. Makif means you're not zeicher necessarily to experience consciously. It happens. And you certainly take something away. And if you're zeicher, it doesn't only happen, you have a sense that it's happening. Why do you look so, or you look nervous, you look like I'm upsetting you or something. Nervous.
Many people are being spoiled by the oil and a lot of good things.
The best. The best. Lubavitch has got a problem. Because they go into the oil with guilt. You have to go to the Rebbe like a Polisher. With noch besser, wie a Ungarische. Rebbe, gimme, 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 gimme. And he gives him, gives him, gives him, gives him. We go in, gimme, but I know I don't deserve. We ruin it with our Lubavitcher guilt. No? So you have to figure out how to be a Lubavitcher. The oil? I don't know. I don't know. It's pretty reasonable to me.
No, it's a Ruach. Ruach is the
Lamayel Menasech. Chaya. Chaya is Lamayel Menasech. Ruach is Midas. Neshome is Sech. Chaya is Lamayel Menasech.
A month ago, I was finishing the old healing by the oil by night because a procedure that I needed to do in the morning. Dr. Rosen sent me to do a sonogram.
Okay, yeah.
No, Dr. Rosen sent me to do a sonogram for, I had an issue with one part of my body. I didn't feel well, and also I had a few symptoms. Anyway, they did a sonogram, but the sonogram, they saw a, not big, but a centimeter of something, and they said, needs to be taken out, doesn't matter what it is.
That's how they said
that. Yeah. And they needed to do a procedure that they go into the body, and it's very, very uncomfortable. I wasn't worried so much about what I had, because I helped, you know, but I was worried about the procedure.
The invasion.
Very, it's even they put to sleep a little bit. Well, I went to the oil and I was saying the old healing, and I was asking Hashem and the Rebbe, and I didn't want it because if Chas v'Shalom they need to take out, it's also another procedure and lo na'im. What is it? So I asked the doctor, not the doctor was it, the doctor that he sent me to, a very, very big doctor here in Brooklyn. Maybe you can do a CAT scan instead of going in. She said, you will never know, really, and I need to take biopsy to know that it's not a dangerous thing. It's like a centimeter, but this can grow and this can dose. And I have the letter of the sonogram on my phone to show you. Anyway, if you don't go in by CAT scan, you will see again what you saw, but the sonogram just more clear. What do you gain? Go in, it's not going to be comfortable, you're going to suffer a few days, but we're going to take a biopsy and pray to God that everything should be good and just being taken out, and that's it. I did the procedure in the morning. He didn't find anything.
It was gone.
It was gone.
No, I might fish from Kamavaiva.
For the Rebbe. Remember the oil. Such a month ago.
It works.
You know, the Weizen.
To go on the Weizen.
I have the other letter also that is Gondish given.